sharpen my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air will be
sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
and so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My goodness gracious, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454. Oh, 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. We have so much stuff to talk about. I gotta start with Joel Lieberman. Joe Lieberman. I love this. I just love it when folks just decide, you know what, we're going for it. We're in a fight, and we're going to fight and fight and fight and fight and fight. Check this out. Two dozen activists, as they're being described, camera crews and reporters squeezed into a register of voters' office to present their requests to the registrar there. They said that Joe Lieberman should... the Democratic Party's affiliation should be stripped or stricken from Joe Lieberman, that he should not be allowed to say he's a Democrat, he should not be allowed to run as a Democrat, and he should be stricken from the rolls as a Democrat. You see, Joe Lieberman is calling himself an independent Democrat. No, you're not. You're running in the independent party. You're not an independent. You are an independent. And they're asking him to be stricken from the rolls. They want to remove his voting affiliation. They are trying to purge him from the rolls of Democrats, and I think that that's fair. I think that that is fair. Is Joe Lieberman a Democrat or a Republican? He launched his campaign as a third-party candidate and calling himself, formed a party called Connecticut for Lieberman. How? Self-absorbed. He continues to call himself a loyal Democrat, then why are you running as an independent? If you are a loyal Democrat, kiss my grits, you are not a loyal anything. You are a man that wants it all. They took your toys, and you're saying, I'm going to come and steal them back. And that's not all. That's not all. Folks are saying he shouldn't call himself a Democrat while he's running against the bona fide Democrat. And that's fair. I think that's fair. He's running against the candidate of the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party chose to select. I mean, they selected Ned Lamont. He should be out. Joe Lieberman should be out. I'm with him. He should be out. I'll be back. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Stay with me.
Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, where else are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything, anything that you need to make your house a home, a palace, your garden, something special. How about your outdoor barbecue, just the bomb? You need to get on over to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Get your shop on. When you get over there, tell them I told you to.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talon says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talon does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talon, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talon are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Jack, boom, clack. I want a rickshaw, hey. Diggy, diggy, a rickshaw, hey. Come on, a rickshaw.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. WGNU, you need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. There is a story the front page of the Wall Street Journal. And I think it is critical that we, in order to assess where we are, in order to understand where we are, we need to look at the things out here that impact real world. I keep hearing people saying that inflation is low and we have a great economy. I'm trying to figure out. How that could possibly be. One of the big movers and shakers in the world, the economic world that we live in, one of the things that is the big mover, the big shaker, are housing starts. Also, housing sales. And the headline on the front page of the Wall Street Journal today is housing slump proves painful for owners and builders. Yep, the market has cooled all the way off. Inventory is high. That means there are a lot of houses out there for sale. I've seen for sale signs pulled off of yards. People tried to get in on that quick boom. And what is fixing to happen is that not only is it there are plenty of houses out there now, there are also houses out there that people are trying to practically give away. They are sellers are absorbing the cost of closing. There are some new housing starts that are trying to, we'll build you a pool in your house for free. But I think one of the things that the articles and the assessments have yet to acknowledge, because I guess it's too painful to do that, is the fact that there are a whole lot of scandalous mortgages that have been handed out during this boom. Folks that shouldn't have been in mortgages like that. Balloon mortgages that people are going to have to pay a lot higher prices for their monthly notes in a year, 2 years. It's going to be bad. And the fact of the matter is that you attach this to high gas prices, you attach this to job instability. Ford Motor Company saying that they're going to have to, they've already laid off 30,000 people, they're going for more. Check this out. One woman put her stately five-bedroom home in Virginia on the market for $1.1 million. She was confident she would get something near that place, and she planned to use the proceeds to buy a retirement home in Florida. But her home in the Washington suburbs attracted few lookers, and in March she cut her sale of her house to $899,000. And remember, that's in March, and she still had no takers. And finally, on the advice of her broker, she called in an auction firm to try to sell her house. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, if you're looking for a house and you have the money, this is a good market. Wait a few more months and you're going to be able to get some great deals. If you're trying to sell your home, good luck to you. Good luck to you. And maybe, you know, maybe we all should have, if we could have just sold our houses for these incredibly inflated prices. A lot of folks didn't sell because they couldn't afford to buy what they needed to be, what would have been their next step up house. There is a major housing slump. For years, real estate brokers and home builders promised that the soaring property market would eventually glide to a soft landing. Doesn't look like it. These optimists predicted that home prices in the country between 2000 and 2005 would continue to rise, but at a more normal pace of 5 to 6% a year. It didn't work out that way. There has been an amazing housing slump in the last 12 months. Mortgage rates have been rising. It's just like somebody has flipped a switch. And one home builder said in the 40 years that he has been building homes, he has never seen a downturn in the market like this, at least not without a downturn in the employment, the same type of employment. But the dishonesty in assessing the employment world out there is the instability of the employment world. People aren't locked into jobs that they feel comfortable that they see themselves in 5 years from now, 10 years from now. People are not. And people are not locked in. There is a price to be paid when we live a life of instability, mental instability, insecurity. You don't think long term when you're insecure. You think day to day. And for everyday folks out there are feeling very insecure. How do I afford this world that I live in? How do I afford these gasoline prices? How do I afford food? How do I afford school? How do I afford housing? How do I afford health care? It's a different world. And it's an unstable world. And I don't care what you say. You can look at, some could say that Katrina happened over there in on the Gulf Coast. But all of us are impacted. There is another shot at insecurity. When we look at a year later, Katrina, and we all feel insecure. Why? Because our government has demonstrated that in times of crisis, on American soil, when American needs are paramount, our government has said, so what? If we can't make money off of it, we don't give a dang. You know what? George W. Bush, let's talk about this for a second. George W. Bush flew over Katrina. He wouldn't come off a vacation. Condoleezza Rice was buying $1,200 pumps and going to plays on Broadway when people were dying. When people were dying. And I'm going to give you some stats. I'm going to do this tomorrow. Of how many of our senators have been to the New Orleans area, to the Gulf Coast, compared to how many of them have been to Iraq, just to show you the obscenity of where we live and how we live. And does this get to the instability of America? Yeah, because you know deep down, for real. At least you have a question of, dang, if something bad happens to me, well, I be looked at as worthy of living by my good government? And the answer is, let me make it clear, the answer is no. So does that make you want to go out and buy a house? I don't think so. I don't think so. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Stay with me. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Northbound 55 on the ramp to northbound 270. There's an accident. The ramp is closed and traffic is backed up all the way through Butler Hill. Westbound 270 at McDonald Boulevard. Look for a disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked. Westbound 270 at 367 in New Florissant, no problems to report there. Northbound 270 at 44 is on the move. Eastbound 70 at K and Mid Rivers Mall. Look for traffic building this hour. And all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, as well as the Eads Bridge and the Martin Luther King Bridge, you can expect no delays at this hour. That That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee. McDonald's Premium Roast Coffee is now bolder and smoother and more robust, and it's made just the way you like it. Drive in today and taste it for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Mostly sunny today, a high around 90. This evening, clear with a low in the upper 60s. For Thursday, mostly sunny, high in the lower 90s. And Friday, pretty much the same. Mostly sunny skies with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 68 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 69. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Dr. Diana Borsa, Interim Superintendent of the St. Louis Public Schools. We remain focused on one key component, academic achievement. We'll make sure that the doors of our schools will open on the first day of school, August 28th. Our teachers, staff, and administrators are working extremely hard to ensure a successful school year. I want to thank you for your continued support of the St. Louis Public Schools. And remember, together, we will make a difference.
Want to help local charities and not-for-profit groups? Want to have a great time doing it? Then head down to Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey in Soulard this Friday from 5 until 9 p.m. for parties on the patio. Every week, a different organization receives a portion of the proceeds and all the tips that their volunteer servers can bring in. There's a featured drink each week, free hors d'oeuvres, and live music. Summer fun and helping others has never been so easy. Party on the patio with Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey all summer long. This week's party benefits the Metro Edge Figure Skating Club of Missouri.
This is Shara Dalen. Join me for Women Inspiring Women every Wednesday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU. I'll be bringing my power tools, that is, power tools for women. Each week, I'll discuss who, what, when, where, and how to make it happen in your personal and professional life. So remember, join me, Shara Dalen, every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. as part of Women Inspiring Women on AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning morning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Carphone.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
All righty. Want to talk about Spike's documentary that he made.
Okay.
I think it was pretty well done.
Okay.
I heard you mention, and I know that you didn't think this yourself, but I heard you mention that, you know, the pundits were saying that it was, he only interviewed black people and it was pretty much from a black perspective, and I disagree. I saw quite a few white faces, frustrated white faces.
But you know what? Let's say that he did.
Nothing wrong with him doing it that way.
Well, not only is it nothing wrong with him doing it that way, it is fascinating to me to hear pundits who don't bust a grape of the fact that everywhere you look, Katie Couric is not a black woman. There is no Nat. There is nobody sitting in. There hasn't been anybody since Randall Robinson's brother. Since we've had a national nightly African face on the news.
I agree.
So we don't 100%. Hear the people. We don't hear these people whining about the absence of African faces, but when a black man makes a movie about something that happened to black people, all of a sudden we need to have white folks in it. I find it fascinating and hypocritical for these people.
I do too. But I'll say this. I think it's a very good counterpunch to this absolute nonsense about these chemical weapons well, not chemical weapons, but these liquid explosive nonsense that's going on with, you know, these people over in Britain. I think that may swing that pendulum back a little bit, you know, because everybody's like, well, wait a minute, y'all talking about protecting us. I saw millions of people down on the Gulf Coast that still are in trouble.
That's fact.
And will be in trouble, some of them, for the rest of their lives.
And for those of you that didn't get a chance to see Spike Lee's movie, I am going to record the movie. I am recording it, and I'm going to show it. Irene and I are going to show it at the Urban Institute, and not this week, but the following week.
Very, very. Not like I said, it was pretty good. I will give it a very well done.
All right.
I've seen other, you know, productions by Spike Lee, and some of them show, you know, in his earlier career, showed some of the things that he is a cinematographer, a director, and writer and producer, you know, where he was still young. But this brother has grown. He's grown tremendously. I think this is probably one of his best works.
All right.
And Liz, you have a good day.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. Tim.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah. Oh, I know we're approaching the Hurricane Katrina anniversary. I was thinking about something just for the war, also with Hezbollah a few weeks ago. I look at how Bush called Hezbollah a terrorist organization and how bad they were and blah, 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 blah. And see how those people lost their homes, you know, during the war with Israel. And looking at Katrina, I look at how these people lost their homes, and this man supposed to have been a terrorist leader, Tamar Hassan Nasrallah, and how he came out and gave those people cash, money for their homes. And you look at Katrina, and these people have nowhere to stay right now.
Fascinating comparison.
You have to ask yourself, for your listeners out here, and now this is not brought up, you know. This man gave, you know what I'm saying, and you call Iran what you want to, but these people have cash money for their homes right now. And these people in Katrina have nowhere to go.
Fact.
Now, who's the real terrorist?
And not only do they have no place to go, politically, their political base was destroyed intentionally. They were scattered to the winds in order that a certain party could gain political advantage by their suffering and their terror and their pain.
That's right. I just wanted to make sure.
That's a great point.
All right.
That's a great point.
You have a nice day.
You take care of yourself. That is a great point. Hezbollah is out there handing out cash money to their citizens whose homes were destroyed by Israel. Cash money. Build your house. They're building the street. And how many people? I'm looking up this article, this letter to the editor in USA Today from George H.W. Bush and William Jefferson Clinton. Remember that really creepy picture, that creepy commercial that they made, sitting next to each other, both of them look like death half warmed over, talking about how they had come together to help with Katrina. It was creepy. It was a creepy commercial. They both looked very, very, very bad. But I'm looking at this editorial. In Katrina, compassion met adversity. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. We received generous donations from such high-profile groups, companies, and people as diverse as Walmart, the PGA Tour, the country of Kuwait, and U2. Now, isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? You named all these, you named a person that's not a citizen of the United States. U2 is not, that's not an American group, is it? Bono is not an American, right? Okay. You named a PGA Tour. Most of us have nothing to do with the PGA Tour. Walmart, which contributes to both of the parties. Walmart contributes mightily to, What's her name? Hillary Clinton. And you gave props to Kuwait. uh.
They said that Bill Clinton and George Bush's daddy said, we started by giving $40 million to a fund set up by governors in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. We directed $30 million to higher education. I want to talk to see about the black universities, how much money of that $30 million that they got. They said, we funneled $25 million into a fund for the region's churches and synagogues. Okay. You know, I guess I'm just not trusting them. When they say that they directed things to churches, I wonder. I wonder what churches and what was the political benefit from that. One 877-779-20-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. Harold.
Yeah, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Oh, great. I was trying to check, how much does the government pledge to rebuild those people's homes in Louisiana?
How much has the government pledged to rebuild these people's homes? I can't answer that.
Because, I mean, he's pledged to give Lebanon $52 million or $58 million to rebuild those people's homes. I mean, what has he done for our own American citizens?
I don't know. I think you have to go to Utah. You have to go to Texas. You got to go to a lot of cities all over this country and ask the folks how much money they have got. In fact, what people have been, there have been more attempts to turn these people into thieves than there has been to turn them into homeowners.
I mean, I saw that documentary. I couldn't believe how could that happen in this day and time? How can you stop people on a federally funded highway from crossing over to another town? How could you do something like that?
And how can you not be punished?
And these people are suffering.
And how can you not be punished for that?
I mean, it's unbelievable that they can even do that.
They went after somebody that they say spent some of that $2,000 on Girls Gone Wild. They went after that, but they didn't go after the cop that stood on a bridge with a gun and said, get the heck up off my bridge. They didn't go after him.
Unbelievable.
Yes, sir.
People spent the 4 or 5 days just dead corpses, and nobody came in to do anything. It was unbelievable.
It's horrible. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, sure.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz. C-SPAN was showing all this week New Orleans, and it looks like bombed out Berlin, even mansions still standing empty. And yet, not only have we spent almost $400 billion in this Iraq adventure, $10 billion disappeared. Cash on pallets like cans of peas. But, of course, the president told us 2 days ago, as long as I am president, we will not leave Iraq. And to those who think that we're being protected, just 5 weeks ago, the power outage hit St. Louis. That's how much your government can protect you. Not at all. Thank you very much, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. We're going to take a break here, folks. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
Update.
Dateline, Guadalajara. Workers at the Volkswagen plant in Puebla, Mexico, are into the fourth day of a strike. Union officials say they are seeking an 8.5% increase, but are willing to negotiate on that amount. So far, management has only offered a 4% hike. 2 years ago, workers at that same facility got a 4.5% increase when they walked out for 4 days. Some 9,700 workers went off the job on Friday at this plant where all of the VW Beetles are made, and it turns out about 300,000 of them each year. And Dateline London. British corporations that operate airlines and airports are threatening to sue the government over the financial hardship they've endured over the so-called plot to blow up aircraft en route to the U.S. from Britain. They say they've suffered multi-million pound losses and had tens of thousands of their passengers inconvenienced when airports were shut down. Their claim is the actions were motivated more by political agendas of leaders in London and Washington than any immediate threat. On August 10th, the British government told the airlines immediate drastic security measures were to be undertaken and no bags were allowed to be brought on board by passengers. All luggage had to be checked and all liquids were prohibited, as well as books and magazines. Airport and airline operators say they were never told of a potential threat, even though police agencies say the plot had been materializing for as long as a year. They said without any advance notice, they did not have enough staff to search every passenger, and travel came to a complete standstill. One airline official made fun of the government's claim of lethal toiletries and questioned why similar security measures were not imposed on the subway and bus network in London, which had been previously targeted for attacks. A law passed in 2000 has language that allows for transportation operators to be compensated for increased security measures. A spokesman for one pilot's organization said the security was so crazy that pilots couldn't even take contact lens fluid on board, and that could have had a potential impact on the safety of those flights. This is your wake-up call global news update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talen says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talen does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talen, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talen, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Every ghetto, every city, and suburban place I've been, made me recall my days in the New Jerusalem. You know it's hot, don't forget what you got. Looking back, looking back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
I got a little problem here. I had written out what I was going to say to you, but it was about the housing starts and about the economy. You know, I live off King's Highway, and I could tell that the economy was down simply by the number of cars I see passing up and down the street.
Mm.
And the other thing is that this is a whitewashing of America, just like that guest you had on with his book Monday, with that whitewashing of lynching.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I could say about it. I wanted to get in so bad, and I couldn't get in. I couldn't get in yesterday. But that was a whitewashing of lynching and a rewriting of history. Now, I would like for some history teachers to either, and a specialist, our good Bible-toting friends who believe in the Bible, to get some students on Saturdays and go to the history museum and history libraries and find everything they can that Ida B. Wells wrote and everybody else wrote around that time. Look in some Chicago Defenders and other black papers that were around at that time, and they found out that man was lying.
Mm-hmm.
And being a Southern, I know he was lying. And the other thing, I can remember years ago, on the Big Watch station, a white woman called in and said that there was no Holocaust in Germany. She said that that was an epidemic. So this is the way people whitewash history. But what he had on the other day made me so angry. It almost made my blood boil because he was lying through his teeth. But he was acting one thing he said was his opinion. Because when you pressed him for things, well, in my opinion, I think I'm right. But it was simply a whitewashing. And all of this stuff about the economy being good, people who are being laid off, how can you pay for a house? Then you get taxed to death. And they're finding all kinds of ways to keep the little person from getting any tax rebate.
Okay.
How can you pay for the house?
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz?
Yes?
I received a letter in the mail since we're talking about homeowners.
Uh-huh.
This letter states that starting with your next policy period, your policy will no longer provide the earthquake coverage it currently includes. Now, I've talked to friends to see if they received the letter, and it seems like everybody is getting these letters on the earthquake coverage being discontinued.
Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry, and I haven't been everywhere all the time, but have we had an earthquake?
No, but it sounds like we might be getting one.
Doesn't that sound like it?
Sure.
Doesn't it sound like it? So what do they do with all the money that you paid for your earthquake
insurance?
You know, that's a great deal for them. They got to take all that money that for earthquakes protection, that it's supposedly if an earthquake happens, they have this money that you've paid in to pay for it, and they don't have to do anything with it. They get to take that money and keep it.
That's right. And then I heard this psychic, I think it was, she said that on this New Madrid Falls that St. Louis is targeted for earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we are. People don't realize how serious it is in terms of the how seriously St. Louis will be hit. We are right on the fault. We are right on the fault.
And that's why they're canceling our coverage, you know?
Isn't that awful?
It is awful.
That is awful.
Anyway, thank you, Liz.
All right, thank you for your call.
Uh-huh.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And, you know, I got to get back to the Katrina issue. We need to figure out is how much money our government has given to Afghanistan, to Iraq, to Lebanon for rebuilding their country in the year since Katrina, and how much they have given to rebuilding houses in New Orleans and all along the Gulf Coast. It's horrible. It is absolutely horrible that there is, these are Americans, and this was on American soil. And George Bush hasn't been back. This is a, and you know why he hasn't been back? He hasn't been back because he believes it makes him look bad. So he has made a decision based upon PR, not people's homelessness, not people's hunger, not people's lack of jobs, not people's displacement, not missing babies, not separated families, not jobless, hopeless people, American citizens. He made a decision based upon how it makes him look to go to New Orleans, to be on the Gulf Coast. You think he's going to go back down to New Orleans on this year anniversary? Huh. He didn't come off a vacation to go the first time. Why would he go the second time? And I heard they're having a sale on shoes in New York. So I know Condi not going to be there. We should judge them and judge them harshly for what they have not done for the Gulf Coast. This administration would send what they called bricks of money, footballs of money. They would rather lose $1 billion in Iraq than spend $1 billion on schools in New Orleans. Did you hear what I said? They would rather misplace, give away $1 billion in Iraq and then put $1 billion in schools in New Orleans. Oh, that's right. They built a whole lot of charter schools in New Orleans. Huh. And in USA Today, independently run, publicly financed charter schools perform no better than comparable public schools. So that's what George Bush has spent money on. Boy, George has spent money on in New Orleans, charter schools. And they don't perform any better than public schools, and in many cases they perform worse. And if they're not performing better, why are we pumping this money into it and raping our school districts? Huh. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I'm outstanding.
No, I don't think they can build Iraq. They can't even get the limbs out of St. Louis that fell on the ground. I was with the military. I watched them. They worked when they did a good job. They were driving big dump trucks down the street with one limb in the back. So I saw all of that. And you know what? I made a statement when that New Orleans had the problem. When they called those people refugees, I made a statement then that this wasn't going to go down too good. You had taxpayers, American people turned into refugees. I knew then it was going to be something wrong with it.
There you go.
I told them on WGNU that name refugee didn't sound too good.
Thanks for your call. Listen, folks, I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back with the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Stay with me.
Power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution through the air. Tell me, brother, how
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. There were 11 people, and they were apparently passing a cell phone among themselves. And that was enough to get the pilot of a U.S. airliner to turn the jet around and land it with a military escort.
Pretty frightening for passengers traveling on Northwest Flight 42. Seems the pilot wasn't comfortable with the behavior of some of the passengers and sought advice. That advice to turn back to Amsterdam, which the plane did, escorted by F-16 fighter jets. The plane, a DC-10 bound for Mumbai in India, landed safely, and several passengers were taken off the plane and are now being questioned by police.
ABC's Linda Albin in London. He may have been the studio's biggest and most bankable star, but Paramount's had it with Tom Cruise and, as some would say, his eccentric behavior.
This is beyond smitten.
Maybe it was his appearance on Oprah.
Standing on your couch.
Maybe it was the testy exchange with Matt Lauer.
Here's the problem. You don't know the history of psychiatry. I do.
The real reason Paramount splits with Tom Cruise?
Show me the money!
Paramount's chairman told the Wall Street Journal Cruise's recent off-camera conduct has been unacceptable. But the studio and the actor have been battling over a $10 million production deal. Paramount wanted to slash it by 80%. Cruise may now start an independent production company. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
John Mark Haar is ready to head to Boulder, Colorado to answer charges that he strangled JonBenet Ramsey.
Muttering only a few words, Haar told the judge he would not fight extradition to Colorado.
You understand that by signing this form, your agreement, you could be extradited to Colorado?
Yes, Your Honor.
But keep in mind, John Haar won't be formally charged with anything until he steps foot in Colorado. And according to sources in the Boulder DA's office, he ultimately might not face all five of the counts in his arrest warrant.
ABC's Wendy Birch in Los Angeles. Well, it's official. It's now Tropical Storm Debbie.
We expect it to remain out over the open waters for at least 5 days. And with any luck, it may not threaten any land areas.
The National Hurricane Center's Richard Pasch. Top winds about 45 miles an hour. This is ABC News.
You, line dancing with space aliens. Leprechauns playing hopscotch. Hot guy in the cover of a romance novel braiding your hair. Hot guy in the cover of a romance novel braiding his own hair. Genghis Khan in underwear that reads Saturday, but it's Monday. Dreams. They can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you. Or if your insomnia doesn't improve, take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Unicorns, mermaids, gargoyles, dragons.
Well, not too long ago, the FBI cameras caught this guy taking $90,000 in cash. Next week, he gets the VIP treatment. Here's ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross.
Democratic Congressman William Jefferson has been chosen by his party to lead tours next week of Hurricane Katrina damage for visiting dignitaries from Washington, even though he is under criminal investigation for taking bribes. Outrageous, says Ken Bohm, the chairman of the National Legal Policy Center.
It just shows that the political folks in Washington are really out of touch with public opinion.
Congressman Jefferson has denied wrongdoing and has not yet been charged with a crime. I'm Brian Ross, ABC News.
The Washington, D.C. area is apparently the place to be if you are a fast-growing private company. Inc. magazine says 43 of the companies on its list of the nation's 500 hottest are there. New York City is number two. 42 new companies called the Big Apple home. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Get ready. Here it comes.
This is KidsCast.
News for kids
by kids.
KidsCast is brought to you by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse.
Reminding you that underage drinking can have dangerous consequences.
Visit us online at KidsCastRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Susanna Pinkley. How would you like to be introduced to Miss America? That's exactly who I got to meet, and she had a great message to send to kids. Coming up, learn about the lessons she's trying to teach as she travels the nation. Don't go away.
Bet you didn't know this.
The speed of sound in the water is nearly 5 times the speed of sound in air. So if you were listening while you were swimming, you might get the message sooner. Bet you didn't know that.
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Games kids can play in the car.
Semi-search. Each person begins by choosing a color. Each player looks for a semi-truck on the road that is their chosen color. You get 1 point for each truck of that color. The first person with 10 points wins.
Well, be back with more Kids Cast after this.
Drinking alcohol is a dangerous thing for teenagers to do. You can lose control of your actions and do things you wouldn't normally do. Sometimes you might not even remember what you did do. Your health and your life are put at serious risk. Please remember that the decisions you make now will affect the rest of your life. Be smart. Choose not to drink.
A message from the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, working for healthy bodies, safe communities.
Are not children's toys. They are tools for grown-ups. They're not made for girls and boys.
More than 90,000 fires a year in the United States are started by children curious about fire, and 3,000 of them are injured every year by fire play. Teach your children that matches and lighters are tools for adults and not toys.
They can start a fire, blazing fire that destroys.
Did you want to be on Kids Cast? Find out how at KidsCastRadio.com.
Hi again. Miss America 2006, Jennifer Berry, who was just in the capital city. She stopped by the Missouri Youth Adult Alliance rally to help fight underage drinking. I got to talk to Miss America, and here's why she said sending the message that drinking is not okay is a good one.
It is a good idea for kids to tell other kids that it's not a good idea to drink because they have the most influence over each other. Peers really listen to peers, and it's vitally important that peers remember that they truly can impact their friends' decisions and they can save their friends' lives.
I also wanted to know what her favorite part about being Miss America is.
My favorite part about being Miss America is having the opportunity to travel across this country and spread the message that I bring with me regarding intolerance to drunk driving and underage drinking. I spent 5 years in Oklahoma having that opportunity, but now I'm able to take it to a national level, and that's the exciting part for me.
Here's what she had to say to young people who would like to be in a pageant themselves.
I would tell a young person that's interested in being in pageants that it's a wonderful opportunity, mostly for scholarship. The Miss America organization is the largest scholarship provider for women in the world. And if a young woman is looking for a way to help her pay for school, this is a wonderful opportunity for her. And the most important part, I think, in competing in pageants is just to always remain grounded and remain yourself and keep your core beliefs at heart.
You can find out more about Miss America and the rally she and KidsCast participated in by heading to our website at www.kidscastradio.com. Then check out this site.
At this site, you can get the inside scoop on the happenings at the White House. Since John Adams and Abigail Adams first arrived in 1800, you'll also find activities for kids of all ages. It comes to us from National Geographic. Just log on to www.nationalgeographic.com/White House. I'm Logan Morris reporting for KidsCast.
That's it for this week. I'm Susanna Pinkley for KidsCast. Toodaloo!
KidsCast is brought to you by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse,
reminding you that underage drinking can have dangerous consequences.
Visit us online at KidsCastRadio.com.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Here's a report of WGNU News brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, a congressional panel will come to St. Louis to discuss how electronic health records could save both money and lives. Missouri Congressman William Lacey Clay and Nevada Congressman John Porter will convene the public hearing September 1st, 1 in the afternoon, at Washington University Medical Center. Witnesses are expected to testify about electronic health records legislation sponsored by Porter and Clay. Meanwhile, Missouri Senator Jim Talent is marking the 10th anniversary of the Welfare Reform Bill. Talent was serving in the U.S. House when he helped to build the Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation Act. Talent says the law has led to a dramatic drop in the number of families on welfare. And finally, at this hour, the United Way of Greater St. Louis will announce its 2006 fundraising goal today. Last year's campaign raised more than $65 million for 200 local health and human service agencies. This year's fundraising campaign will run from September 6th through the end of October. That's WGNU News, brought to you by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, you can help a child excel in school through September. Donate school supplies to KidSmart by dropping them off at the service department of your participating Toyota dealer. Toyota, moving you forward. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 10 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. Westbound 270, 367, and New Florissant, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 at Mason and Spady, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from Illinois 3 to Canal Bridge, stop-and-go traffic, and all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, as well as the Eads Bridge and the King Bridge. You can expect some delays this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. The Gateway Clean Air Program reminding motorists that the check engine light on a vehicle is a way of saying it's time for a checkup. GatewayCleanAir.com. Now, taking a quick look at your local forecast for today, mostly sunny, high around 90. This evening, clear with a low in the upper 60s. And Thursday and Friday, mostly sunny both days with a high in the lower 90s. Currently, we have 67 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 68. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. St. Louis Schools Watch is next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to St. Louis Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. Good morning, Peter Downs.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. We have a couple minutes before our break, so I just want to start with a couple of things. And I have to read the line. Like a modern-day George Wallace standing in the schoolhouse door, Mayor Francis Slay is attempting to thwart educational opportunities for St. Louis children. How is that?
What, there are,
and I understand the comparison, but how is it that he is doing this?
Well, he's taken several steps to try and make sure that schools do not open. You know, and lately, just board members were informed on Saturday that the city is withholding tax money that is due to the school system?
Wait a minute. Withholding tax money from the schools?
Yes. Yes, you know, school taxes are collected by the city. The schools don't have any way of collecting them. The city collects the tax money, and then it's supposed to give that money to the school district. And there's about $4.5 million right now that they are withholding and refusing to give the school system.
What do you mean, refusing to give? Who's refusing to give the money?
Slay runs the city, is the way I look at it.
Okay.
But I understand that, to be fair, I understand Slay's office has said that the collector of revenue is the one responsible for that decision.
Bunk. Well, and it would be bunk because I got to ask this question. Did they withhold the money last year?
No, every year they have paid it.
Every year that they've been collecting the money.
This is the first time in anyone's memory, you know, anyone who's in the school system, this is the first time in memory that they have refused to turn over the money.
And what is the explanation for the refusal to turn over the money? Or is there one?
I have not heard one. It doesn't mean they didn't make one, but none has been relayed to me.
Okay, so Francis Slay is withholding money from the schools. What's the other thing that he's doing, like George Wallace-esque?
He's waited until the week before school to send building inspectors in to try and find things wrong with schools.
Now, when the babies were poisoned at the schools, did he send inspectors in?
No, there have been many things in the last 3 years where parents and teachers and other places documented.
Right. And we've asked for building inspectors on this show.
Yes.
Time and time again.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that when we come back and talk about Francis Slay. When we come back, stay with us.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
I'm Comptroller Darlene Green, and I want to remind you that the first day of school for the St. Louis Public Schools is Monday, August 28th. This is expected to be one of our most rewarding years yet, with students, teachers, parents, and the community all working together. We welcome you back to a professional environment where academic excellence is the number one goal. Remember, the first day of school is Monday, August 28th.
Good morning, who's this?
This is Dontra Busby calling you from McLean School, Second Grade Room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Ruth. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurate. And Ruth was voted.
You are listening to the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, welcome back. We were talking about the things that, and I think that they're really just numbing and just petulant actions that Francis Slay is engaging in. You withhold the money from the schools. That this has never been done before. This is, and it's not like the schools are getting all the tax money that they are entitled to anyway. Because Francis Slay certainly has given away school tax money to builders and other folks that have been that have come into the city.
That's right, and even the money that. That's left over, mm-hmm. right? After giving away to builders and all this, the money that's left for the school system to get, it only gets about 90% of what it's supposed to get.
So we don't get what we are entitled to already. Bob Archibald, one of Slay's members on the school board, has talked time and time again about how broke the district is. And you would, it's like a doctor that is looking at a patient, and because the patient said something that the doctor didn't like, the doctor orders the nurse not to fill up the bag, the IV that is going into the patient. I mean, it's incomprehensible. Look at the harm that this is causing to children, can cause to children, and the harm that this can cause to the city of St. Louis. What kind of mayor, who wants to move into a city? If you try to bring people in from all over the country, who wants to move into a city where the mayor would say, you know what, bump them. I'm not giving them any of the money. I'm going to withhold the money that the district has because I don't like what they have done.
Well, a few weeks ago, we talked on the show, maybe it was a month ago, the mayor went to the state. He said, the schools are not going to open. The state has to take them over. The mayor said that. And it seems to me like he's trying to make that come true.
So the doctor is trying to make the patient die.
Yeah.
it sounds like it's a guy that's up there on death row. I mean, Dr. Death, this is what he is trying to do. He is trying to, as a petulant little child, trying to keep the district from open. I'm going to withhold their money, and I'm going to send building inspectors in. And one of the things that people have questioned is the skill level. The ability of the acting superintendent, Diana Boriso, to run this district. I'd like for you to tell folks about how the district what the district did prior to Francis Slay sending out the building inspectors to the school district.
Yeah, well, Superintendent Boriso and the other people running the district, they didn't need Slay to tell them that there were safety issues in the schools.
After Slay had been running it for 3 years.
Right, for 3 years. He's refused to send inspectors in. I've talked to inspectors who have said they were ordered not to cite anything at schools. Mm. And we've had parents and other employees try to get inspectors in because of problems they could document and couldn't do it. Diana Boriso came in, and almost immediately there's a former assistant superintendent for operations from University City named Roger Casey volunteered to help get schools ready.
And volunteered?
He volunteered. He called up and said, I'd like to help you get schools ready. And she said, well, this is what you can do.
Well, we didn't need to pay him $500,000 and then hire everybody that's in his family for an additional $90,000. We didn't have to do that like it had been done the previous three years.
No,
he volunteered.
He volunteered.
Okay.
And what she assigned him to do was to go, because his experience was in buildings, to go inspect every school and make a list of what's wrong. Physically, inspections are missing, what urgent repairs need to be made, whether or not Sodexo is cleaning the schools, just to do an inspection of each school, and he did that. So weeks ago, she had this thick report on what needed to be done at each school.
This is prior to Francis Slay unleashing the inspectors upon the school.
Yes. So we already had...
And have been working on it.
Yes.
The district had already been working on this.
The district had already been working both on getting relevant in fire and safety inspections to be done when all that is what was lacking. And part of the problem, I know a couple of weeks ago, because I've heard from other people in the district and other people who don't work downtown, but had, parents filing things and saying, oh, they heard the Board President Veronica O'Brien was trying weeks ago to get the city to send inspectors in to inspect weeks. So if they found anything, there'd be time to fix it.
Uh-huh.
And couldn't get them. Uh-huh. Couldn't get them to budge.
Uh-huh. So you all had been looking at this. The new superintendent had been acting on this. We had volunteers working in this. You said this was like a 2-inch thick report that was given to Diana Boris. So the president of the board had been trying to get the inspectors to come down because
After repairs were done, look at this. Yeah.
And see if, and none of that happened. So Slay sends his inspectors a week before school is supposed to open in anticipation of being able to find things to keep schools from open. So even as an assassin, he's incompetent. I mean, he should have sent his inspectors in weeks ago if he wanted to find something wrong. But the district because the district is doing what it needs to be doing, he's not going to be able to be successful at closing the schools down either.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that the district is on top of everything. If they find anything, and you can always find something, they pick something.
Absolutely.
But if they find anything small, the district will be able to fix it quickly.
And one of the other things that I want to talk about before we get to the bottom of the next break is that this is why it is so to me. That's why Slay should be doing the job that some folks elect, a few handful of people elected him to do, and that's run the city of St. Louis. It seems like whenever that he begins to try to involve himself in this, that no good comes out of it and nothing happens positive for the school district. But yet when there's an opportunity for him to do something right, to do something consistent, he's not there either. There's a press conference yesterday of elected city officials standing there in unison with one common goal. Everybody's school starts on Monday.
School starts on Monday.
Was Francis Slay there?
No.
Well, he was there the year before, wasn't he?
And the year before that, and the year before that.
And he spent millions and millions of dollars saying, come back to school, school's going to start, school's going to start, school's going to start. And at this press conference, he was not there. Did he send a representative?
No.
It seems, Peter, I am very concerned. It really seems as if the opportunities or the resources of the city are not directed towards enhancing the school district at all. It seems like the resources of the city are being used to destroy the district.
Well, I would agree with that. I'd agree with that. And over the last 3 years, if you look at the cuts that were made in the last 3 years when Slay controlled the board through his four proxies, it is clear that they were taking the district apart.
Dismantling.
They were dismantling the district. And, you know, I really think that if leadership changes hadn't been made, then schools would not open this fall.
And there we would be closer to the concept of a state takeover of the school district.
Of a state takeover, and with the governor we have now, and the mayor supporting the idea too, a state takeover paired with y'all go find private schools to go to, and we'll give you a voucher.
Well, private schools that can take the money. And then eventually kick the kids out, but keep the money up for the kids. And what's interesting to me also, Peter, is that one of the lovely things that has occurred since we've had a new superintendent is the fact that we've had positive messages coming out of the district from teachers and from principals, and everybody is excited, and there are positive things being said and honest things being said about what's going on in the district. That's a wonderful thing that we've had. But it seems as if they have been looking for an entity or someone for negative stuff to come from. I got a press release yesterday from the Black Leadership Roundtable. Now, the Black Leadership Roundtable, they were part of the group that Francis Slay got elected onto and to control the board, right?
Yes.
In fact, how many of the members at one time, how many members were there serving, the highest number of Black Leadership Roundtable people serving as school board members?
Well, I didn't get that. For a while there, they had four members on the board, so that they had a majority of the school board.
Okay, we're going to talk about this press release that I received when we come back. This is Liz Brown, the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, that accident's been cleared. There's still residual traffic jams between Clarkson and Spady. Southbound 270 at 40, look for an accident on the right shoulder. Traffic is slowing near Ladue Road. Bell Fountain onto the ramp to westbound 270. Look for an accident there. Westbound 270 between 367 and New Florence, and expect heavy traffic. And all your approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge, look for delays there, as well as the King Bridge and the Eads Bridge. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic. Drive into Sonic for a new spicy Southwest breakfast burrito, crispy jalapeno strips, and spicy chipotle sausage. Breakfast fired up. Try it with your favorite drink, because Sonic is your ultimate drink stop. It's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Mostly sunny today, high around 90. This evening, clear with a low in the upper 60s. Thursday and Friday, mostly sunny both days, with a high in the lower 90s both days. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 69 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 69. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call, St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
It's time to redo your home. I know you want to do some remodeling. I know you want to do some fixing. I know that you're watching the cable shows on how you can make your home a beautiful, beautiful place. Look, here's how you do it. You get in your car, you drive down to Union and Natural Bridge, you pull into Sears, you tell them I told you to, and there you will experience the trifecta of shopping. You will experience great quality, great price, great customer service. Come on, you need to get on down to Sears, make your house a home, a palace, and tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes, but the Republicans, like Jim Talent, are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Diana Borsa, Interim Superintendent of the St. Louis Public Schools. We remain focused on one key component, academic achievement. We'll make sure that the doors of our schools will open on the first day of school, August 28th. Our teachers, staff, and administrators are working extremely hard to ensure a successful school year. I want to thank you for your continued support of the St. Louis Public Schools. And remember, together, we will make a difference.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
This is, good morning, Miss Liz. This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCrease School, second grade, from 209. Miss Liz, I had a good time with you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs, and let's quickly just lightly talk about this this press release from the St. Louis from the Black Leadership Roundtable. It's interesting to me that when Francis Lay controlled the board through the membership, he added one time up to four members of the Black Leadership Roundtable on there, and he could have done. They could have done a number of things, right?
They had control of the board.
And
yes,
so,
they could have done whatever they wanted.
So now we have this nasty little press release from them saying that and if the St. Louis Public Schools don't do what we're telling them to do, then we can't. We are going to push for a state takeover of the district. This is right out of the mouth of Francis Lay, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it's you know, the world upside down is mm-hmm. what it is. If they call in here, one of the things they say, you know, the board has to take steps to regain full accreditation by the district. Well, the fact is, this board is doing that. When they ran the board, they kept going backwards.
When the Black Leadership Roundtable members were the majority on the board, we lost dozens of accreditation points.
Yes, we lost like 28 accreditation points.
And here's the other piece. When I received this email from this organization, I shot them an email back saying, you know what, I'd like to see copies of all of the press releases that you sent out assessing the St. Louis Public Schools from the last 3 years. I didn't want them to go back real far, just from the last 3 years. And they said, we're going to look to see what we can find. I bet you that they don't find one single press release that they sent out when kids were being poisoned, when we lost all of that. I mean, just even if they didn't care about the babies being poisoned, not one single press release from the Black Leadership Roundtable about the loss of accreditation points. That's an easy one for them to understand.
That's an easy one, and it happened every year.
Every
over the
year.
Last 3 years.
And not boo, not oops, not anything from this organization. But now it seems like Francis Lay is back in action through this entity. And yet, that same entity had a majority control on the board, and every time that they were on the board, we lost accreditation points. So now we're down to one member of the LAC, or two members of the LAC Leadership Roundtable, I think, on the board.
Ron Jackson and Clint Fowler,
Clint
I guess.
Brown,
I'm not sure about him. But certainly, you remember, you know, Ron Jackson is the one who's has the lawsuit trying to remove Bill Purdy from office. So that's Black Leadership. They say in their press release, we want to stop these changes, yet they have a lawsuit to create more changes.
There you go. And also, Flint Fowler was on that lawsuit, too.
Flint Fowler was on that lawsuit.
Okay.
He filed it with Ron Jackson.
That's exactly right. So, okay, let's talk about that, because I think that people need to know some of the changes that are going on in the district. And some of the, I guess, one of the wonderful things about having a new superintendent in that's actually been a superintendent, has actually had experience in running districts, is we're going to now have the covers really lifted up so that we can see what was being done in the dark for the last 3 years. Can we talk about some new people that have been brought into the district and the people that they're replacing, and do a little compare and contrast if we can, Peter?
Okay, I can talk about new people being brought in. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can always compare with the people they're replacing.
Mm-hmm.
But the deputy superintendent, mm-hmm. second in command, is John Martin.
Mm-hmm.
He was, until this summer, a superintendent in, I think it's the Grandview School District mm-hmm. near Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
He is superintendent for 8 years there, which is a long time to be superintendent anywhere.
Yes, it is.
And he's from St. Louis, mm-hmm. Went through St. Louis Public Schools, graduated from Harris Stowe.
Mm-hmm. He went to Beaumont, right?
He graduated from Beaumont,
mm-hmm.
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
His first teaching job was at Ashland Elementary mm-hmm. in St. Louis Public Schools. Mm-hmm. So he's very familiar with St. Louis and the school system here.
Vested, if you will.
Vested,
mm-hmm.
yes. Then we have...
Now, the person that he replaced, who was one of the... If you can just kind of give us an example of the credentials of the person that he replaced. I mean, when we think about John Martin's credentials, 8 years as a superintendent, that's more than any superintendent that ran the district when Francis Lay controlled the board.
Yes.
And he's coming in as an assistant superintendent.
Right, he's coming in as a deputy superintendent.
Deputy superintendent.
And there was, I'm afraid I'm blocking on the name right now, mm-hmm. there was a woman from Chicago
mm-hmm.
that Craig Williams had brought in as his second in command. He called her chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
And she had no superintendent experience. She had been a principal in Chicago. So He had no experience as superintendent. The person he brought in as his main backstop had no experience. This is superintendent.
And he paid her well. She was over, I think she was like $100,000 a year.
She was, I think it was $135,000 a year she was paid.
Okay. All right. So who else has been brought in? In the short period of time, because Diana Borisso got here when?
She got here. She was hired on July 14th.
Okay. And it's August. A little after August 14th. Not a
That's
whole
right.
lot.
That's about 5 weeks.
Okay, about
five weeks.
Okay. Who else?
All right. In human resources. The director of human resources right now is named Maureen Spence.
Mm-hmm.
She formerly was the assistant superintendent for human resources in the Rockwood School District, which is the second largest district in the area, and before that was assistant superintendent for human resources in the Melville School District. She has something like 13 years experience running school human resources.
Public school.
Public school human resources.
In big districts.
In big districts, yes. The last person... The immediate person she replaced was Richard Basden, who had never run human resources.
Anywhere?
Anywhere.
Anywhere?
Anywhere. Before he replaced...
And these are Francis Slay people. These are the people that Francis Slay's board majority hired.
Yes.
Okay.
The person he replaced was Tony Hill, who was still actually in the district as a consultant. She was somebody else from Chicago. Did not have experience running a human resource department.
Mm.
Shortly before Williams left, he had hired about half a dozen human resource people. My understanding is that none of them had experience in school districts. They all came out of private companies. And you have different laws,
mm-hmm.
you know, applying to private employers as you do public employers. And even within public employers, you have different laws for school districts. And even within school districts, you have different laws for St. Louis than you do for other districts in Missouri.
So none of these people had experience in, none of the people that Williams hired, none of the people that Francis Slay brought in through his board majority, none of them had experience in public school human resources. Some of them had no experience in human resources at all. And none of them had experience in St. Louis.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Then we have as a... an advisor, I guess, on finances is a gentleman named John Carey. That's C-A-R-Y, not K-E-R-R-Y.
Wow, he's in St. Louis.
John Carey, he's the former superintendent of the Melville School District mm-hmm. and is now a vice president at Bank of America.
Mm-hmm.
And he is volunteering his time.
Volunteering.
Volunteering his time to work with the district. To work with Ennis Moss, the chief financial officer slash treasurer.
Volunteering is
volunteering, time. Yes. It's not costing the district a penny, is what I've been told. The Bank of America agreed to give him a leave of absence so he can work with the district.
Really? That is wonderful. That is really,
yes.
really wonderful.
Yes, it is. That is a very good thing.
That is really wonderful. And so now, and again, he was a superintendent.
And yes, and he was a superintendent.
We have more superintendents now in this district than it's amazing how many superintendents we have actually with years and years of experience working in this district.
Oh, it is. It is. And the comments I received from principals and downtown staff is really that Borisaw is, and we'll talk about some of the other people too, mm-hmm. but she's really assembling kind of the best and the brightest in Missouri.
Mm.
In school districts to turn around St. Louis Public Schools after the disaster we've had for the last 3 years.
And what is fascinating, too, is that getting back to the Francis Slay piece of it, let's do a quick comparison and compare and contrast. We had the mayor of a city who had control of a board, and I would think that a mayor would have more resources out there in corporate America with civic progress to get more types of volunteer type of work to people to come in and vest in a school district. And none of this happened with Francis Slay. Whenever they brought in corporate people, they were being paid corporate top dollar to come in and work, and 99% of the people that they brought in had no experience in any of the things that they were being paid top. That they were being paid top corporate dollar for.
Oh, I think that's right. I think the contrast is stunning. And it didn't have to be that way.
No, it didn't. I mean, he is sitting in the mayor's office. He has all kinds of resources. Why couldn't he have gotten somebody from Bank of America to have Bank of America give them a leave of absence to come in and a superintendent to work and volunteer in our district? Why couldn't he have done that? Why didn't he do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm.
You know,
But we do know he's not trying. He's trying to keep money from the district. So, okay, so who else are we assembling?
All right, we have our new director of special education is John Heskett, I think his name is. He is the former coordinator of special education programs for the whole state of Missouri.
Wow. Wow. In the city of St. Louis Public Schools.
And now he's going to be in city of St. Louis Public Schools. Yes.
And Lord knows we need him because the special ed program has just been decimated in the last 3 years.
Yes, it has.
Just decimated. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. I'm here with Peter Downs of St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We'll get to some of you all. Stay with us.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
You, line dancing with space aliens. Leprechauns playing hopscotch. Hot guy in the cover of a romance novel braiding your hair. Hot guy in the cover of a romance novel braiding his own hair. Genghis Khan in underwear that reads Saturday, but it's Monday. Dreams. They can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if your insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Unicorns, mermaids, gargoyles, dragons.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by Philip Person Roofing. For free estimates, call 602-1047. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Washington. A short report now on the Rex 84 plan. It stands for Readiness Exercise 1984 and calls for a large number of concentration camps to be set up across the country to house terrorists, dissidents, and others that could pose a danger to the state. It was originally designated to handle a mass exodus of illegal aliens that were expected to come across the southern border. The plan first came to light when the Iran-Contra hearings were taking place back in 1987. The camps are to be operated by FEMA if martial law is ever needed to be implemented by a presidential signature on a proclamation. The Attorney General could then sign off on a warrant that has a list of names that will be rounded up. There is speculation that last year's disaster along the Gulf Coast was a trial run for FEMA to use the powers of Rex 84 to round up, quote, refugees or evacuees and relocate them in camps around the country. In a move that was little reported, the Bush administration was able to have language crafted into the recent House version of the defense bill that will allow the National Guard to become a dual-function force that can respond to both state and national needs. And the president could put them under his direct control in case of disaster or catastrophe. Rex 84 has established over 800 camps to hold thousands of prisoners, some up to 20,000. There are also two sub-programs that call for population control and an orderly takeover of state and local governments by the feds. Could it be that FEMA did not respond to the plight of those hurricane victims because its real duty has nothing to do with humanitarian efforts? This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update, brought to you by Philip Person Roofing. If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huss. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show's all about. 7:05, Thursday night, right here on Radio 920.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Lee. This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from a clean school, second grade room 209. Miss Liz, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful message, African message that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eyes, just like my teacher. I'm in room 209 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. And Peter, we were going through the list of new hirees and changes that have been made in the district since the Francis Lay's board majority has been removed and under Dr. Boriso. So what are some other changes that have been made that parents need to know about?
Well, yes, one we mentioned earlier with maintaining the buildings. Mm-hmm. With Roger Casey, former assistant superintendent for operations from University City, who came on to work with that.
He volunteered.
He's mm-hmm. he's now on staff as a temporary employee.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. Even with all these people and the tremendous credentials they bring, they're working for much less than the inexperienced people they replaced.
Mm.
So just within the superintendent's office, we saved $1 million from the people working directly with her.
Cutting Williams's staff, inexperienced, unqualified staff, she saved the district $1 million.
Yes. Yes. And I don't want to be remiss here. There are people who were very experienced and very good at what they did, who worked with the district, who
mm-hmm.
left under Williams,
mm-hmm.
who have come back
mm.
now. There are some. The most notable is Enos Moss.
Mm-hmm.
I've just heard from dozens of principals and other staff people who are just so happy about that. Enos has a reputation for integrity
mm-hmm.
and honesty
mm-hmm.
that they're just very happy to see
mm-hmm.
back in the district.
Mm-hmm.
He
got gray hair under Roberti. I watched his hair turn gray when he was there under Roberti, so maybe his hair will take. He will lose some of that gray hair now that he's back.
It doesn't work that way. And as we had mentioned, the end of June, Williams had eliminated the Title I office, which was actually called State and Federal Programs.
He had eliminated the Title I.
Yeah, eliminated, oversaw, you know, the federal grants we got, applied for the grants, saw that they were used correctly so we didn't have to repay money, that kind of thing. And the director and assistant director of that office who left when that office was eliminated, they are back in the district now to reestablish that office.
Okay. And I think it's important for people because I know that there will be attempts by people outside of the concerns of this district who will talk about top-heavy management. The fact of the matter is that even in a widget factory, you have to have people that know how to make widgets. In the factory, you have to have people that have, it is not top heavy to have someone whose job it is to oversee Title I fundings for the district. That is not top heavy stuff.
No. I mean, that's an essential thing that's really required by the grants themselves
mm-hmm.
because the federal government requires that you have somebody monitoring the grants to see that they're used properly.
Mm. Okay. So who else?
Well, the one other person I'd like to mention here or point out is Dan Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very highly regarded principal of Lafayette High School in the Rockwood School District.
Mm-hmm.
Actually came to St. Louis in the year for Birdie. He's one of the principals they recruited. He's principal of Gateway High School then and was very popular at that high school. And left after a year because he was disgusted at the lack of support the principals got, lack of support the schools were getting from downtown administration. And he has come back to work on, as his title is work on special projects, but it's really to work on putting in place or back in place the systems, the processes by which the district will support what goes on in the schools. So instead of the district being like a cancer, instead of the district office downtown being like a cancer on the schools, sucking resources away from them, it becomes more like the heart. You know, they're supplying the blood, supplying the schools what they need.
Excellent. And again, morale is such an important thing. And I know what morale was like and has been like for 3 years. What are you seeing in terms of a morale update? I'd like one of those.
Well, I see a lot more excitement, a lot more hope, a lot more enthusiasm about starting school, which is not to say that people aren't aware of problems. You know, this district had really, it was headed for a crash, and a lot of things have to be very quickly.
We had Katrina go through this district.
We are rebuilding.
Right.
We have some board members who want to rebuild at FEMA's rate, and the rest of us want to rebuild faster. But we are rebuilding.
And when you say that, talk to folks about the recent vote and these emergency funding that the district had to pay for.
Yeah, it was last week. We had board meeting and had 10, 11 resolutions to ratify emergency contracts. Half the emergency contracts, six of the emergency contracts, were for roof repairs, for major roof damage from
the storm in July.
The big storm that came through in July 19th. Board member Robert Archibald said at the start he thought it was bad public policy to have these emergency contracts.
But a $6 million contract to a guy that's never run a school district, never got a superintendent's license, never will have a superintendent. Now, that's good public policy.
That's good public policy.
And also the secret meeting that Francis Slade members met before they got on the board to figure out what they were going to do when they got on the board. Now, that was good public policy,
That's right. But having the superintendent and the board president have the authority to respond to emergencies. That was bad public policy. So he and Ron Jackson voted against all the emergency contracts.
One of the things that
I thought he missed his calling. He got to work for FEMA under Michael Brown.
Maybe his surname is Brown. I don't know. Brownie.
Brownie.
Also, one of the things that was passed was some security issues for the board president, Veronica O'Brien. Tell us about that.
Well, last week there was, and it's been in the newspaper, on the TV. A $20,000 contract for security for the board president, Veronica O'Brien. This was prompted by the murder of a young man who was preparing to file suit against Floyd Irons and the school board.
And it was a rather vicious murder. I mean, it was and the police are not saying that we know that this has anything to do with it, but the young man was getting ready the next day, I think, to go file something.
Right, that's what his attorney says, yeah. And
he was shot numerous times.
He was shot numerous times, and they came back to make sure he shot him some more in the head to make sure he was dead.
Yeah, so it was a vicious.
Clearly a hit on him. It wasn't some random shooting. And police say there are a lot of things that could be related to. They don't know. They haven't caught anybody. But one of the things that could be related to is the controversy around Floyd Irons.
And also, prior to that, she had received threats.
Yes, Veronica O'Brien, before that, had received threats.
From Floyd Irons.
She says she received threats from Floyd Irons and Demetrius Johnson, who's working with him on that.
And from my perspective, in terms of the credibility of the threats, I believe them because I was threatened by those same individuals 2 years ago when we were working in the community, and there were all kinds of witnesses when they came into the church to threaten me. So, you know, I think that the district is doing this out of concern for their school board president.
Oh, absolutely. The superintendent and the deputy superintendent introduced a resolution. They said, you know, it's just prudent. This is one possibility. It would be imprudent to ignore it. You know, it's prudent to take some precautionary measures. hopefully within a month the killing will be solved. We'll know what the real reason is, and people will be caught.
And Peter Downs, we're coming to the end of the show this morning. When's the next school board meeting?
Next school board meeting is in September.
Okay.
We're
looking at a calendar right now.
We're looking at a calendar, right. You know, the first Tuesday is the day after Labor Day. I'm not sure whether there'd be an administrative meeting then or not. I'll have to look. The regular board meeting is either September 12th or September 19th, and I'll find that out.
Very good. Peter Downs, thank you so much. See you same time, same place next week.
See you next week.
Okay, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albany.
If I was a prosecutor on this case, I'd have a couple court orders waiting for him. One would be an order for his DNA, obviously, and another one would be for handwriting sample.
Former prosecutor Mary Fulginti weighs in on a possible trial for John Mark Carr. He is a step closer to one now that he's waived extradition. He could be in Colorado within days. ABC's Jim Ryan in Boulder.
Once Carr is on the ground in Colorado, the clock starts ticking. Prosecutors will have 72 hours in which to formally charge him or let him go. In that time, it's likely that blood, saliva, and skin cell samples will be taken from Carr. DNA evidence may prove crucial in the prosecution of the case. Tests on two blood spots found on JonBenet's underwear only narrowed the genetic material to a white male outside the Ramsey family. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Boulder, Colorado.
It got the pilot's attention. About a dozen passengers on a flight from Amsterdam to Mumbai passing around a cell phone. The pilot summoned a military escort and turned the Northwest Airlines jet around.
Shortly after takeoff from Amsterdam Airport Schiphol, the pilot requested that the aircraft return to the airport and requested that it be escorted by two F-16 jet aircraft as a precautionary measure.
Pamela Kuipers, a spokeswoman for the Schiphol Airport in the Netherlands. Police are questioning some of the passengers. A task force. For the shaky ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah, the Israeli army fired artillery into a disputed border region in response to what it said was an attack from Lebanon. An Israeli soldier was killed in a separate incident. The White House says this is an example of just how far the Gulf Coast has come since Hurricane Katrina.
Just days before President Bush travels to the Gulf Coast on the Katrina one-year anniversary, a victim has come in his FEMA trailer to the president. Rocky Vaccarella of St. Bernard's Parish wanted to cook a New Orleans dinner for the president. He gets an Oval Office welcome instead.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. Tropical Storm Debbie now. Its top winds 45 miles an hour. Not expected to make landfall. This is ABC News.
Honey, would you go to the ends of the earth for me?
Of course I would.
So then going to the Sherwin-Williams store wouldn't be a problem, right?
That was a setup. It's the summer color sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Now you can save on classic 99 interior paint starting at just $23.99 a gallon. And save on other interior and exterior paints and stains too. For painting and decorating,
ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
Drop everything. The Toyota Ton nationwide clearance event is on now. See why Toyota is the number one brand in passenger car sales in America. With cars like the sporty, fuel-efficient Corolla, it's a great time to buy the unstoppable Tundra or the five-star rated Highlander. The clock's ticking. Drop into the Toyota Ton event today. Toyota, moving forward.
Based on our upload and complete total passenger car registrations by May for calendar year 2005. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration five-star federal crash test rating. Ratings only meaningful when comparing vehicles in the same weight class. www.safercar.gov.
The price of gas may be down a little bit, but it is still pretty expensive. Expensive enough to make you say no thanks to other things you used to buy without thinking twice.
For many people, higher gas prices means fewer $4 cups of coffee, imported home decor, and eating out at high-end restaurants. Candace Corlett, a WSL strategic retail consultant, says 50% of shoppers say they cut back spending to pay for gas.
They know that extra money in the gas tank has got to come out of their budget someplace else. So they are trying to keep up their lifestyle and their standards by shopping at smart alternatives.
She says it's taking a while, but people are getting used to the idea of cutting back if they're going to drive. Donna Rapato, ABC News, Miami.
Aspirin's been called the wonder drug, and for women who have had unexplained miscarriages, it may in fact just work wonders. A study in the journal Fertility says Israeli women who had trouble carrying a pregnancy to term were more likely to deliver a healthy, full-term baby if they took the painkiller. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This WGNU News update is brought to you by McDonald's. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, a local priest convicted of sexual abuse will be released from jail next week. Father Brian Kucher was sentenced to 3 years in jail in 2003 for molesting a 14-year-old boy at Assumption Parish in 1995. Letters from the Survivors Network of those abused by priests are going out to Assumption parishioners asking any other victims to come forward. St. Louis Archdiocese says Kucher will live at a church-run facility outside of St. Louis when he's released next Wednesday. The Archdiocese is awaiting a decision from the Vatican to have Kucher defrocked. In other news, local officials say they want to focus on the children of the St. Louis Public Schools, not the district's problems. Members of the Association of St. Louis Elected Officials gathered yesterday morning to promote the first day of classes Monday. The group says it's important for students, parents, teachers, and administrators to know they support them. Officials yesterday would not comment on a potential state takeover of the district. St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay, who supports a state takeover, was not at yesterday's press conference. And meanwhile, St. Louis School Board President Veronica O'Brien has an armed guard. The school board hired security for O'Brien last week after she reportedly began receiving threats following the dismissals of Vashon High School basketball coach Floyd Irons and Superintendent Craig Williams. The board agreed Friday to spend $20,000 for the first month of security. And that's a WGNU News update for this hour, brought to you by McDonald's. Go to the Cards-Cubs game on August 25th and help McDonald's raise money for the UNCF. Call 241-5958 or see McDonaldsstl.com for the ultimate Cardinals experience. I'm Peyton Colston with this hour's update of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Gateway Clean Air Program. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, that accident has been cleared. There's still some residual jams going on there. Northbound 270 at McKelvey, there's an accident reported. Southbound 270 at Ladue, look for an accident on the right shoulder. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry to 170, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 44 from Meraz Overpass to Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 55 all the way into Big Bend, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at KN, Mid Rivers, look for slow traffic. And all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, as well as the King Bridge and the Eads Bridge, you can expect some delays as you're rolling into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Gateway Clean Air Program. The Gateway Clean Air Program reminding motorists that if the check engine light is on, it's a vehicle's way of saying it's time for a checkup. GatewayCleanAir.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, high around 90. This evening, clear with a low in the upper 60s. For Thursday and Friday, pretty much both days, you can expect mostly cloudy or partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air, tell me brothers, tell me sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me brothers, tell me sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power.
was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never tell you the star records you need. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you sister?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Good morning. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. The truth will set you free. Ms. Brown, I want to thank you so much for the report that you said the Black Leadership Roundtable sent you that email. They need to go sit down somewhere, Ms. Brown, but I'm hoping that they will reply to your response, Ms. Brown, because, yeah, where were they, Ms. Brown?
I just wanted to know where the press releases that they did when Bill Roberti was in the school district, when the school district dropped dozens of accreditation points. Did they send out a single email, a single press release about any concern they had about the district? Now they have a concern because I guess Francis Slay has a concern, and now they want to shut it down because apparently Francis Slay wants to shut it down, and that's hardly any kind of black leadership.
No, it's not, Ms. Brown. They sickening, too. But, Ms. Brown, another thing, too. Francis Tacky Slay, he's only making himself look like a fool, Ms. Brown.
It's foolish.
Like you said, Ms. Brown, he's making himself look like a big fool. He needs to go take lessons from those other municipalities out there in the county. Those mayors don't be doing what he's been doing, Ms. Brown. You know that.
And let's just talk about the things that have been done in the, interim while we've had the new superintendent. When the new superintendent can go find people that corporations will allow them to, former superintendents, where corporations will allow them to take a leave of absence in order to volunteer at a school district, why didn't Francis Slay, the mayor of the city, sitting in the mayor's office anyway, of the city of St. Louis, why couldn't he find people like that? Instead, he found people like Bill Roberti to pay $6 million to, who has never been a superintendent, who will never be a superintendent, and cost this district dozens of accreditation points. Those are the Francis Slay solutions. He needs to shut up. He needs to go try to focus on the city of St. Louis and stay out of grown folks' business.
Ms. Brown, everything you say is true, Ms. Brown. Like I said, he tried his best to ruin that district, him and his cronies. And I hope Ron Jackson and Bob Archibald heard what you said about what Peter said. He's holding that money up, Ms. Brown.
We have a mayor of this city in the city of St. Louis. How do you get people to want to live in the city of St. Louis when the mayor of the city has said to a district that is struggling for financial stability after 3 years of raiding and raping, how do you say to a person to come live in the city of St. Louis because I am going to withhold tax money from the city of St. Louis on a humbug, as an act of a petulant child? How do you get people to come into the city of St. Louis? You cannot.
Ms. Brown, he thinks he's going to be the mayor forever. One more thing, Ms. Brown, I wanted you to Peter to ask this. Maybe you can answer it for me. Why would Flint Fowler sign on a lawsuit against Bill Purdy when Flint Fowler got children in the district too, Ms. Brown? Ms. Brown, I hope they lose that lawsuit because I want Bill Purdy on the board. Would you question that, Ms. Brown, and comment on that, please? You have a nice day, Ms. Brown.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Please don't forget that we are streamed on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And also, we are archived. The Wake Up Call is archived at whiterosesociety.org. Renee.
Hi, I wanted to know what has changed from the time that Mr. Slade was basically running the board until now that's making him want to make the decision to have the state run the school.
Francis Slade lost in the last election his board majority. In the April election, Peter Downs won as well as Donna Jones. That changed the board majority. So now when Francis Slay wants to hand off money to a crony of his or to someone who doesn't have any skills, he can't do it because he doesn't have the votes on the board to get it done. So that is why he is saying, I want the state to take over because I can't run it anymore.
Okay, but it's nothing to do with what the new person is doing as far as the schools. Nothing to do with the schools, nothing to do with the children.
No.
Okay, I just
it's all about control. It's all about control. And also, don't forget the multi-million dollar money pot that he can use to pay off people that have given him campaign contributions. He had that money to hand out before, now he doesn't.
And none of that equals to helping our kids and education.
Bingo.
Okay, thank you.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have some more conversations about school students and who can go to school anymore. We have we're going to have a guest on to talk about student loan availability. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. We've had a number of authors on this show to talk about the challenges that are confronting us as a nation. And specifically, we have had authors on to talk about the future of education, the future of education from the perspective of those who wish to attend college. It's astounding to me that students are coming out of school now with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. I know when I graduated from law school, I had no debt. And I couldn't imagine having to, what kind of decision I would have to make as to the type of law that I practice if I had $100,000 of debt on me. And as awful as that is, apparently, it's getting worse. Isn't that something? As awful as that is, apparently it is getting worse. There are even the loans that are going to cripple people, even those loans are being cut back, apparently. We need to talk about this. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining us from Tempa, Arizona, Ronak Nuga, the student, he's a student at Arizona State and AMSA's Medical Student Debt Coordinator. Tempe. Ronak, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Great.
It's getting worse?
Yes.
How could that possibly be? I mean, it is awful enough out there. How could that possibly be? It's getting worse.
There's a lot of factors. Tuition is going up, costs are going up, and there's more private loans now, and we're facing a time where the amount of these loans and the students who are undertaking them are just getting outrageous.
So let's back up just a little bit. The way that students normally get loans to go to school, how does that work?
Well, right now we have a massive loan system through the federal government where they have guaranteed loans, and anything additional is through private loans, and there's a plethora of different types of federal loans available and different interest rates attached to each of them, different maximum loan amounts given for each of them. And before, in the past, it was on a grant-based system. So it's been a major shift to this use of the loan.
And with a grant system, there's not a payback involved in it.
Right.
And then there was a shift to the student loans.
Yep.
And the interest rates have continued to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And the pay rates have continued to change. But something new is being pushed now. Talk to us about that.
Well, recently the Secretary of Education's Commission on the Future of Higher Education, they've been meeting to put out a report that addresses the needs within higher education and addressing our current problems with it, and specifically the problems with this high amount of debt and people's ability to attain a college education without putting themselves in that massive amount of debt. So this report, it basically states it comes out with conclusions that are very far-reaching and hope to try and cause some sort of reform to simplify this process, get more students educated, and create a better quality of education for the students with less debt.
And the idea that we are trying to privatize the debts that students will now have to pay, are there any safety nets that are now taken away if we move towards that?
Well, there was a proposal to get rid of most of the federal loan system for students and shift it to a complete privatization. And there really is no safety net in that case, where the students get stuck with outrageous interest rates, and it has tremendous effects on their career choice in the end.
One of the statements that has been made is that taking out these private loans hinders the progress towards the state admission. Can you talk to us about what is meant by that? Because the American Medical Student Association came out with that statement, expressing their concern about this. And they said that they felt that the fact that the existence of these private loans, not only do they increase the burden of debt, but also they don't allow equal access to the educational opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. The big thing with private loans is that they're based on your credit scores. And a lot of the students who need the loans the most may not have the greatest credit scores and may not either they get extremely high interest rates or they may not even get approved at all, in which case we have students who have to choose between getting an education or not just because they can't get their private loans to cover the balance.
And even if it's not that they have bad credit, they could have no credit history.
Exactly.
You know, so who benefits from this? Who benefits from this shift?
If the shift continues more, the only interests are served by the private industry, the private lenders.
And where are the universities across the nation on this? Are we hearing anything from all the universities? Are people up in arms about this? Surely this must hurt the bottom line for universities and colleges out there.
Well, as far as the universities are concerned, they keep raising their rates and they still keep getting them. So people have been trying to speak out more about these raising tuition rates, the problems with their student loans, but really there's nothing that's really been done yet to show that something needs a major change here. And
well, doesn't this run contrary to different universities' stated policies of we're trying to get a diversity of student enrollment, we're trying to get students of African descent, we're trying to get students of Indian descent, we're trying to get across the board, and we're also trying to get students of different coming from different economic spheres. Doesn't this run contrary to it? Because private loans make certain that only one type of person is going to be able to attend.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where schools have had to come up with alternate resources. Either they give out their financial aid packages, discount the tuition directly to those students, but it's still not enough. It's still not addressing this core issue that they need more of the underrepresented minorities. We need more from the different socioeconomic standings. And
where is Congress on this? Where are the legislators on this?
They're stuck in the middle. People have been trying to push both ways. Some have been pushing for expanding the programs to provide more funding for these educational programs since last October, there was a $13 billion cut from student aid programs.
Where do you suppose that was going?
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Now there's some people that are pushing for more privatization, and there's been no consensus reached yet, and we're trying to push to save our student loan programs.
So are you guys are students going to just get mad as heck and not take it anymore?
That's the plan.
Because the challenge to students now is first of all, okay, particularly students that have already finished undergrad, the challenge is to, you know, I want to get through my medical degree. I want to get through my law degree. Are you all going to raise the cane that needs to be raised in order to change this?
We've been trying. The American Medical Student Association has been speaking out on this for quite some time, and many other organizations have, but it really needs a lot more student involvement to try and really try and get people to act on this issue.
Absolutely. I want to thank you, Ronak Nuga. Thank you so much for joining me on the Wake Up Call to talk about this very important issue.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back in the next half an hour to talk to you about your issues, your concerns, your observations. And in the next hour, joining me will be Vicki Stringer, publisher, writer. Lord, Lord, this woman writes some books. Write some books for grown folks business, her books. We're going to be talking to her in the next hour, but in the next half an hour, I'll be talking to you. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your local Toyota dealer. Southbound 270 at Ladue, there's an accident on the right shoulder. Some report of delays at this hour. Northbound 270 at McKelvey, there's an accident reported there as well. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry all the way into 170, look for a very heavy volume going on this hour. Eastbound 44 to Mraz Overpass all the way to Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow pockets in the right lane as you approach the exit ramps to 270. Northbound 270 at 44, you can expect some delays. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 all the way into the Canal Bridge. Look for no problems to report there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Toyota, your local Toyota dealer. Trust your local Toyota dealer for parts and service for any Toyota cars that you may have. Visit your local Toyota dealers for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, mostly sunny, high around 90. This evening clear with a low in the upper 60s for Thursday and Friday, mostly sunny both days with a high in the lower 90s. Currently, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, You know what? Anything that you need for your home, inside or out, you can go to the Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. It's right in your neighborhood. It's right there. You get great customer service. You get great deals. Everything that you need is right there. Get on down to Sears and tell them I told you so.
Hi, I'm Dr. Diana Borsa, Interim Superintendent of the St. Louis Public Schools. We remain focused on one key component, academic achievement. We'll make sure that the doors of our schools will open on the first day of school, August 28th. Our teachers, staff, and administrators are working extremely hard to ensure a successful school year. I want to thank you for your continued support of the St. Louis Public Schools. And remember, together, we will make a difference.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing, right here on WGNU Radio. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the Capitol in Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, wgnu@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Steck.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Spend it all, I have not.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes. I want to speak about a young man that I knew that lived in this area that graduated from WashU as a lawyer, and I met him about last year, and he was telling me how he was having such a struggle trying to, he was waitressing, working as a waitress, and he was telling me how he was having such a problem because they wanted him to pay his student loan, and he was not even making enough money to live on to pay his rent and finance himself, and he was very sad. He said he was working two jobs. He has a law degree, and he said he just didn't understand because he had worked under a lawyer out in Clayton, and he didn't have pay him because he said he wasn't doing good. His firm was about to close down. So he said his interest was steady going up on his student loan, and he didn't even have a job.
Yeah, it's awful. It is absolutely awful. The student loan situation out here is crippling our future.
Yeah, and this guy was a very brilliant guy. And, you know, WashU, you don't graduate from there and if you, you know, don't have it going.
Well, even if he was just an average guy, just an average person that graduated from law school, it falls the same way on people that are really, really smart, people that are not, that are just average. It's an equal opportunity oppressor, these student loans.
Then I also met this young lady. She lived in this neighborhood. She was working under a lawyer, four lawyers out in Clayton, and she got set out. Her things were on the street. And someone told her I had an apartment for rent, and she came here wanting to put her things in my apartment that I had vacant. And I said to her, well, I couldn't take you in if you got set out. Evidently something is wrong. She'd start crying, Liz, telling me that the lawyers in Clayton, working under four of them, you understand it better than I, in the office. But she would go down and take the small cases, Liz. And she said when she would take the small cases, each lawyer was supposed to give her that she worked for $100 a week. She said they didn't pay her, and that's how she got behind in her rent, her lease. So it's sad out here. Very smart, brilliant girl, and she was sitting on the street with her furniture.
It's awful.
Because they weren't paying her right, and she couldn't get a job as a lawyer, whatever it is. And it just saddened me, and I said, this is terrible. She said her student loan was steady writing her, and her credit was bad, okay? And she couldn't get another apartment.
There you go.
Okay, Liz, I just had to share that with you.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. It's rough. It is rough out here. And how does it get better? How does it get better? Like the young man I just had on the show. You know, the students need to start clowning. They need to, because once you get out of school and you start taking on all the responsibilities of living out here, it's harder and harder for people to take risk. You're supposed to take risk when you're young. That's when you're supposed to clown. That's when you are supposed to, because your future will not get better if you don't clown about this stuff. It is wrong. It is wrong for the wealthiest nation in the world. For the wealthiest nation in the world, make it impossible for kids to go to school. How is our nation harmed by letting everybody go to school that needs to go to school, that wants to go to school? How are we made weaker by that? Aren't we as a nation made stronger with more people that can go to school? More opportunities for people? Aren't we made richer as a nation? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I have read several stories And I'm trying to, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But y'all being played with JonBenet. There was, if you tilted your head a little bit to the right, and you close your eyes and you just blocked all the noise out and just listened. On the day that the JonBenet story broke, if you just listened, if you closed your eyes, leaned back, blocked out all the noise, you could hear the hallelujah, thank the Lords all across newsrooms in America. You could hear the Rupert Murdochs of the world doing happy dances all up and down their corporate boardrooms. Why? They're happy because, oh, Lord, this is the news we want to bring you. We would rather talk about JonBenet any day of the week than talk about Iraq, Iran, or Lebanon. Give us back our money makers and we will shake our tail feathers. Mike on a car phone.
How you doing this morning?
I am outstanding.
Since you brought JonBenet up, what does Lee Harvey Oswald have to do with it? But about education, do you think that the attitude that they have right now is that they're importing educated people, and they are the ones that are filling the cracks of the new and the intelligent sciences and engineering that is needed out there right now. They're not having to pay for their education. The Indians from India, China, Africa, whomever, but from MIT or any place else.
I don't understand the question that you're asking me. Say again.
Okay, in other words, years ago they allowed doctors and other people to come over here and fill jobs. So the jobs are usually filled by those who acquire the education in order to fulfill these jobs. Now these jobs are being filled by people from other countries who are coming to this country. Their education has been paid for, not by this country. So therefore, they're getting the use of their talents and their educational capabilities and not having to pay for it.
Okay, I'm still not following you.
In other words, if I get John J. Q. from India to be my top electronic engineer.
Okay, who's the I in this?
United States. Okay, or Microsoft. All right, instead of getting the top student from MIT.
Okay, why would Microsoft choose the student from India as opposed to the top student from American student from MIT? Why would they do that?
I understand he may or may not do that, but I'm saying this country, by them making it difficult for kids to become educated, that's going to be his choice.
So there will be no top American student from MIT. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So therefore, they're going after that market now.
I think that one of the reasons, that there are a whole lot of reasons why choices for companies are what they are. Choices for companies are that way because we as a nation are not pushing engineering in elementary school. We're not pushing engineering in middle school. We're not pushing engineering in high school. People have to want to do this, first of all. Second of all, the students that do want it and do pursue it, some of them, a large percentage of them, are precluded from doing it because it's too expensive to do it.
So
there are a number of reasons why choices for businesses are what they are, and some of it has to do with money. A lot, and I don't know what percentage of it is money, but it also is America's not pushing it. America is not, America as a administratively, this administration certainly is not pushing it. This administration wants to provide opportunities for big business to make money off of education through charter schools. That's what this administration is about.
I can see that also.
All right. Thanks for
your
call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Dee!
You know,
I really thank you for having so many interesting things on. Otherwise, we would never know we are being played by the board.
Mm.
And I want to take my hat off to Veronica. Listen, we're being played, all right, from the top all the way to Slay.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all using the same tactics to continue different games.
Mm-hmm.
The volunteer from Bank of America, smart. Slay might have some concrete competition.
Okay.
Bank of America is one of the shrewdest and highest profiteers in the credit card game.
And, but here's the thing, it's not costing the district a dime.
He's going to make him be the own fool. He's making Slay defeat himself.
That's a fact.
Okay, thanks for giving us so much.
All right now, take care, Dee. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Tel Aviv. The nation of Israel was given several three-year loan guarantees back in 2003, totaling $9 billion. The Bush administration has agreed to a request by Israel that that deal be extended for another 3 years. It allows Israel to borrow money on the international market for very low interest rates. So far, Israel has used almost $5 billion of that $9 billion base. Israeli officials are expressing gratitude to the Bush administration for putting such confidence in its economy. The U.S. Congress still has to approve that extension. And Dateline New York. Former wake-up call guest William Rodriguez, who told an incredible tale of heroism on the program last year, may have a movie made about his version of events on 9/11. He says he's talking to actors Charlie Sheen and Isai Morales about a feature film. Rodriguez led firemen and rescue personnel up a stairwell in the North Tower, unlocking all doors with the only master key to the World Trade Center complex. He made it up to the 39th floor before the other tower was hit and he was forced to evacuate. He was trapped in the rubble for an hour after being the last person to get out. Rodriguez had been pushing a federal lawsuit charging that the 9/11 attacks were a conspiracy put together by the Bush administration to start military action in Afghanistan and Iraq. That suit was dismissed by the courts 2 months ago. This is your wake-up call global news update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
The Citizens Commission on Human Rights of St. Louis Incorporated presents the Electric Shock Radio Hour, a call-in talk radio show airing on WGNU AM 920, on the net at WGNU.net, Wednesday nights starting at 7 p.m., hosted by Roger Teagarden, Executive Director of the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, St. Louis, Missouri. It is a timely and lively discussion of the scourge of modern civilization, psychiatry.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
There's a new world coming, and it's just around the bend. There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end. There's a new voice calling.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Kim.
I'm calling in regards to the education, and it's good that you're having this topic. You hit all the subjects that needs to be hit. I work on behalf of the government in collections for student loans.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. It is, it's a joke the way the government has the system set up to get the poor and the middle class. And when I say the poor, that we actually can file a garnishment against people who receive retirement income. I mean, fixed income as little as $800-$900 a month.
Wait a minute, Kim. I can tell you about the man on disability who
mm-hmm.
went on Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
He went all the way to the Supreme Court, and this man lived on $800 a month. This was for a student loan that was 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, yeah, the government can go get your Social Security check to pay off a student loan.
And you can die.
We don't care. We're getting your money.
That's right. Get this. We have doctors and lawyers in our file who do not pay a dime will tell you, you can't touch me, because we can't garnish doctors, lawyers, attorneys, people of professional status.
Yes, you can garnish. Sure, you can. I know.
Oh, but they don't.
Well, okay, well, I know lawyers that have been garnished. Yes, I do.
Well, then they're not on their own personal payroll.
Okay, on their personal payroll. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha,
right.
Gotcha.
Like if you're a business owner,
okay,
we can't touch you. So those are the ones who will hang up the phone on us.
Mm.
And I say to myself, if the government really wants to collect this money like they claim it's such a big issue, why don't you hit these big business owners and make them pay back? I'm a single parent. I have two children. My income is $24,000 a year.
Mm.
My daughter is 10. Bye-bye. Do you know they made me take a parent loan for $7,000, because that's what it's going to cost her each year, considering she got a partial grant and scholarship or whatever. So each year I have to borrow $7,000 from the government as a parent loan. Mind you, my credit better have been good or my daughter wouldn't be getting a college education.
Wow.
They pulled my credit report. So if I had poor credit, she would not receive that $7,000 that she needed in order to get an education so she can work in a society and not be a menace as they, quote-unquote, want to class us to be. But they make it very hard as a single African-American parent with two children who both work. I'm not asking anyone to give me anything. $24,000, you minus $7,000 out of my income a year that I have to pay the government back, I'm down to $17,000. They ain't put me in poverty.
Yes, they have. Good Lord.
Yes.
Good
And if I
Lord.
Don't pay them back, they'll be going to my check. Or no, I'll lose my job.
No, you'll lose your job. You will lose that job.
Yes, because I can't work in OWL.
No, you can't. And it must just, Kim, it just must break your heart as
yes.
you're sitting there trying to talk to people and get money from people to pay these loans back. You must hear some really horrible stories.
And it is. It's some people that call in crying, saying they can't pay. They on fixed income from disability to retirement, $700-$800 a month. And we have to inform them, you need to pay something. $25, $30, $50 These people barely buy food. One lady says she's buying cat food to eat.
Jesus.
But this is our government. This is our big government, but we're across this world running other people's business. But we can't see the poverty in our own homes that we're creating while we're trying to clean up other countries. I don't understand it.
It's horrible. It's horrible. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. A caller called up earlier this morning and made the observation, and feel whatever you want. Have whatever political opinion that you think is important. But understand this. The Hezbollah, that have been, we have been told by our good government that they are terrorists. It's a terrorist organization. They're awful people. All they do is kill, kill, kill. And they're bad people. Okay, that's what our good government has told us, that we are supposed to believe about these people. Our good government doesn't tell us that these are people that have been elected into parliament, hold parliamentary offices, have formed coalitions with Christians and Muslims and Sunnis. They have done that as elected officials. They have not told us that the Hezbollah are part of the Lebanese community. And okay, even if you don't want to buy that, even if you blow that off, please help me with this. How is it that the Hezbollah, after Lebanon was attacked by Israel, or retaliated against by Israel, homes were destroyed, infrastructures destroyed, the Hezbollah are out there handing cash to their citizens to build their homes back, paying money to have the streets rebuilt. Now, when America looks us in the face, it says yes or no to us based upon our economic situation, based upon our race, based upon our color, and based upon our gender. That's what decides it for America. If you don't believe me, hold my hand as we take a quick little walk to the rubble that is still called New Orleans. Ask the citizens in the Ninth Ward if they have received a check to build their home from the non-terrorist government of the United States, from George W. Bush. Have they received a check to rebuild their home? Have they? No, instead they are vilified for giving them a lousy, stinking $2,000. And the government complained that some people, they say, bought Girls Gone Wild tapes with that. That's all you got. That's the criticism. Build their houses. That's what governments are supposed to do. That's what non-terrorist governments are supposed to do. When the so-called terrorists are building the homes of their citizens, they're looking in their faces and they're not seeing a person of African descent. They're not seeing a woman. They're not seeing a poor person. They're not seeing a white man. They're not seeing a wealthy white man. They are seeing a Lebanese person. What does our government see when they look in my face? I'll tell you, but it ain't going to be pretty. I'll tell you what they see when they look in my face. Car phone.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Liz.
Certainly.
It's amazing. They're trying to get every dime they can to pay for this war.
That's bad.
And you know they'll never win a war that they went to war on the wings of a lie.
Mm.
And that's what the student loan business is all about. And it's amazing that first people have to suffer, but some just can't pay it. The ladies work at $24,000 a year. That's not a lot of money.
That's
not
no money.
Economy.
That's no money.
That is no money, I'm telling you.
She has three kids, a kid in college, $24,000. That's no money.
Oh, that's cool. It just hurts. And then you'll get some self-righteous hypocrite that'll get on there and take stuff crazy. So it's going to say, got an extra dollar tucked away. But nevertheless, I hope it works out for her. You have a good day. Thanks.
Take care of you. Certainly. Gary. Quickly. Gary.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to know why the government has to pay.
Why does the government? Because that's what governments are supported by our tax dollars. In the event of a disaster that hurts Americans on American soil, the very least that a government that is paid for by our tax dollars do is respond to that crisis. If a government says it is our responsibility to inflict or impose democracy on other countries, tens of thousands of miles away, with our tax dollars, if a government says that we are support another country in terms of billions of dollars in money towards weapons to make that country stronger, then why would...
I got insurance for something that God creates. I got insurance to rebuild my house.
Yes, you do. You're just dishonest about it. Of course you depend upon the government. Everybody depends upon the government. You depend upon the government to do your roads. You depend upon the government to make certain that your food is safe. You depend upon the government. You depend upon the government. The government is supposed to meet the needs of all of its citizens. And in a natural disaster where an entire city is nearly wiped off the face of the map, how can an American look in the face of another American and say, ain't my problem. You don't have insurance? Bump you. Shame on you. And shame on a country and a government that would think and act like you. Because you're the first type of person in a natural disaster when all your stuff is washed away. I bet you hollered for your government when your electricity went off back in July. I bet you hollered for your government to do something about those trees out there. I bet you did. Your insurance company didn't come out there and cut the trees down. Your government did. You need to be honest with yourself, self-critical, and self-analyzing. Now I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back with Vicki Stringer. Stay with me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. It's been more than a week since two American journalists were kidnapped in Gaza, and now there is a claim of responsibility and a list of conditions for the men's release. More from ABC's Matt Gutman in Jerusalem.
The Gaza-based group issued an opaque demand for the release of, quote, all Muslims in American prisons within 72 hours. That in exchange for the release of American correspondent Steve Santani and New Zealander cameraman Olaf Wieg. The group also released a videotape showing the two men reading a statement saying they are being treated well and are in good health. The note did not say what would happen if the demand was not met.
The men work for the Fox Network. John Mark Carr could be in Colorado in a matter of days and is a step closer to being tried for the murder of JonBenet Ramsey.
Carr has not made any public statements since telling reporters in Bangkok that he was with the six-year-old on the night that she died. His legal advisor, Jamie Harmon, spoke on his behalf after meeting with him for nearly 7 hours. She says Carr was badly bruised in the media huddle in Thailand and that he's been misrepresented in the press.
ABC's Yinji Denise in Boulder. There's no word yet why a Northwest Airlines pilot asked for a military escort back to the airport today in Amsterdam. Several passengers on the flight to Mumbai were taken off the plane for questioning. There were no arrests. You're heading back to Iraq. No questions asked.
Thousands of Marines, no longer on active duty but with time left on their military obligations, will be putting uniforms back on and heading to Iraq or Afghanistan. The involuntary recall could involve 2,500 Marines at a time beginning in the next few months. The number of U.S. troops in Iraq is now up to 138,000, due in part to the need to curb the growing violence in Baghdad.
ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington. It's now Tropical Storm Debbie. Top winds 45 miles an hour, give or take a mile. Forecasters say it may not make landfall. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow up 21 points and the NASDAQ is ahead by 7 in early going. This is ABC News.
Honey, would you go to the ends of the earth for me?
Of course I would.
So then going to the Sherwin-Williams store wouldn't be a problem, right?
That was a setup. It's the summer color sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Now you can save on classic 99 interior paints starting at just $23.99 a gallon. And save on other interior and exterior paints and stains, too. For painting and decorating,
ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
Drop everything. The Toyota-ton nationwide clearance event is on now. See why Toyota is the number one brand in passenger car sales in America. With cars like the sporty, fuel-efficient Corolla, it's a great time to buy the unstoppable Tundra or the five-star rated Highlander. The clock's ticking. Drop into the Toyota-ton event today. Toyota, moving forward.
Based on our reporting complete total passenger car registrations by May for calendar year 2005. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration five-star federal crash test rating. Ratings only meaningful when comparing vehicles in the same weight class. www.safercar.gov.
Looks like some of the air is beginning to leak out of the housing bubble, and you might be surprised to see the lengths that some people will go to sell their homes. Here's ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
As real estate markets weaken, home sellers in Southern California have started resorting to a centuries-old ritual. They're seeking help from above and below. They're seeking help from St. Joseph by burying statues of him in their lawns or under for sale signs. St. Joseph is the patron saint of families and home sellers. Figurines have become hot sellers at religious stores and real estate supply shops. There are even pre-packaged St. Joseph home sale kits, which include figurines. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The special effects were a little too realistic for some people who went to see the movie Snakes on a Plane recently. Apparently someone released two live rattlers at a theater in Phoenix. One was found in the parking lot. The other was in the theater itself. Fortunately, no one was hurt. Police are still looking for whomever did it. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
A report of WGNU News brought to you by Group Health Plan. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, the Missouri Mental Health Commission is recommending changes in how state facilities run. The commission prepared its report after a series of statewide hearings on the safety of patients in the state's habilitation centers. Those hearings were prompted by the deaths of two residents at the Northwest Habilitation Center in St. Louis County. The commission recommends making some abuse and neglect information public, considering video surveillance in state facilities and allowing more independent investigations of abuse or neglect. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter disciplined over a series of stories last year will go to arbitration today. Carolyn Tuff's stories on the Joyce Meyer Ministries included accounts of ministry money being used for perks and high salaries. After the ministry complained, Tuff says the Post-Dispatch editors called her unfair and unprofessional in an unprecedented apology. She was also suspended for 5 days, which was later reduced to 2 days. Tuff wants the paper to correct its apology and issue a new apology to her. And finally, at this hour, local union officials are trying to draw attention to the lack of health care access for janitors. Eddie Camion, a spokesperson for the Service Employees International Union, says yesterday's Chalk It Up event was meant to let businesses know the cleaning companies they use don't offer quality, affordable health care to their workers. A group of janitors protested yesterday outside several St. Louis City and Clayton businesses by drawing chalk outlines to symbolize the uninsured janitors that clean those buildings. And that's a report of WGNU News brought to you by Group Health Plan. You wouldn't risk being without car insurance, so why take a chance with your life? Get health insurance today. GHP is now offering affordable individual health insurance. To learn more, call your broker or visit them on the web at ghp.com. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Gateway Clean Air Program. Southbound 170 at Del Mar and Ladue, there's road construction. Right lanes closed in both directions. 44 at Wellington, there's road construction. Actually, there's road construction throughout the St. Louis Metropolitan, St. Louis County, St. Louis City, as well as St. Charles County and the Metro East. So just use caution and slow down as you roll through those work zones. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Gateway Clean Air Program, reminding motorists that the check engine light on a vehicle is a way of saying it's time for a checkup. GatewayCleanAir.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies with a high around 90 this evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. Thursday and Friday, mostly sunny both days with a high in the lower 90s. Currently, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you say? Our power. Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. The
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's the low major.
I think I'm hearing revolution with the anthem, brother. Stop
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And don't forget, the show is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. A little later, I hope to get to our author, author and publisher Vicki Stringer, to join us on the show a little bit later this morning. In the meantime, I'd like to talk to you about what you're told. Does that sound right? What you're told. What you understand. And how you come to understand it. I'm looking at this story about the end result of the war in Lebanon. Front page story in the New York Times today. They talk about when Mercy Corps and other Western aid agencies reached this particular village, Qiyam. This is a village that was on the front line of the battle between Hezbollah and Israel. When the relief organizations reached this village, and they had food and they had medicine, they quickly discovered that they had a big problem. The people that could hand the stuff out, the Hezbollah. And the relief agencies were told that they could not work through Hezbollah to get the food to the people. Hezbollah has been, and the reality is, and that's why it is so, why this administration is so woefully incompetent, so woefully incapable. You cannot be petulant. You cannot be petulant and be a diplomat. You cannot run a government without having diplomatic skills. You cannot be an effective leader without having diplomacy in you. We have a guy sitting in the White House that cracks on people for their clothing choices. And how can you be an effective leader when that is what you do? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business that we have to tend to. And I want to talk about this some more. It is important for us to make these connections. But right now, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to visit with our guest for this hour, publisher and author, Vicki Stringer. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Stay with me. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else are you going to go to get your washer, your dryer, your refrigerator, and your stove? You're going to go down to Union and Natural Bridge, and you are going to take your money, and you're going to drop it on the counter and tell Jerome Williams, you know what? I came here to get what I needed to get because I want to make my house into a palace. I'm going to go down to the Sears because I want the trifecta of shopping experience. Great location, a great quality, and great, 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 great customer service. Look, my name is Liz Brown. When you get on over to Sears to get your shop on, you tell them I told you to.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. And don't forget that this show is streamed on the internet at WGNU.net. It's also iPod at WhiteRoseSociety.org, also archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. My email is revolution@LizBrown.com. We have much to talk about. I always love when we get to take a break from the politics of things, the specific politics of things, and talk with some of our authors and folks out here. And I think you all are going to really kind of like Dirty Red. My guest this morning is a publisher and best-selling author, Vicki M. Stringer. Vicki, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am outstanding. I'm outstanding. And, I don't know where, I want to start with you, but I can't wait to talk about Red. Okay? I cannot wait to talk about Red.
What's wrong with Red, Liz?
Whoo, Lord.
That's the couch, don't she?
Whoo, Lord. Lord, we definitely need to talk about Red, but I really want to talk about you because you're part of the story here too. You've made an amazing journey to publicist, and I kind of want to start with how you did it.
Oh, well, you know what? First, of course, by God's grace, because the journey has been so tough and is so miraculous that only God could do it, because, you know, I did 7 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to do something that I encourage others to do. Trust God. And it sounds so simple, but I think it's the hardest thing we can do.
But isn't it also, it's not simply trust God, it's also listen and do what you're told?
Yes. It's obedience. It's sacrifice. It's all those things they preach
right.
about.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And it's really true. But, you know, Liz, I was in prison doing 7 years, had thrown my life away. My mom had reminded me of that every single day. And I got an epiphany, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit, however people see it, and was told to write, to share my life story, to warn others of the dangers of the drug game. And so that's how my first book, Let That Be the Reason, came about. And then from there, the other books just came, and the authors came to me for help, and that's how the publishing company started, Triple Crown Publications.
But also, wasn't it about, I mean, I loved when I read in your bio about how you wrote your first book when you were in prison.
Yes.
And the discipline, I'd love for you to share that with the audience, the discipline and how did you get discipline, how did you create an environment in prison to be able to afford you the discipline that you needed to write this book, the first book?
You know, being in prison is not hard to be disciplined because your life is so regimented there. But I think the hard thing for me was to have the faith to believe I could write something that people wanted to read.
Mm.
So I had nothing but time on my hands, Liz. It really was how I wanted to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just took it one step, word at a time. And you have to desire something before you that keeps you pressing. So I wanted a new life.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of, you know, I don't want to come back here again. I need to do something new. And then the inspiration that I was receiving in my spirit that I could do this and I could trust God that he had something more for my life other than what I had did with the last 30 years of my life. God had something more.
And I love this. I'm looking at this as we are talking. I love this letter to God that you wrote when you were in prison of the things that you wanted.
Yes.
What made you do that? What caused you to write a letter to God and say, "Dear God, this is what I want"?
You know, I was going on that journey, and I just had no relationship with God. You know, we grow up in church, and I did all my life, but I still had no relationship. And I remember meeting a girl who was in prison. She was a Muslim woman, and she was, you know, really religious. And I saw something in her that intrigued me. And she said to me, "Well, if you trust God, why don't you ask him for the things that you want in your life?" And I'm like, okay, is it that simple? So I then did a journal that, you know, that you were reading, and I said, Liz, I said, "God, I want da 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 la. You're God. I want all these things on this item, and I want to live legally because your word says I can do this." And so I just wrote it down, and, you know, I have, to this day, I've been able to check off everything on that list.
I love the one, a clear vision and purpose for my life. Dear God, I want a clear vision and purpose for my life.
Yes, I wanted it to be crystal clear because, you know, I was like, I can't see that. God, make it clear. And I needed purpose because, you know, when you have purpose, you don't do certain things you're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I did not have that, which is why I got where I was. And I wanted my life to have meaning, and I wanted my life to have represent a legacy that I could be proud of and something that my son, now my children, could be proud of. And so God did it.
And when you wrote your first book, who was the first person that you sold it to?
The first person that I sold the copy to was this girl in a beauty salon, a hairdresser by the name of Leah. She actually bought my very first book. You know, but I wrote it on a typewriter, and I sent it to my sister, and she said, I said, "Well, can you type this for me?" And a lot of people in prison were reading it, and guards and stuff were reading it, and people were coming like, "You got any more copies of this book you wrote? It's so good." So in jail, I was like, I'm on to something. I had about maybe 50 people in the yard who have read this manuscript, so I'm like, what if that would have been 50 books sold?
Mm-hmm.
So I started getting excited. But once I did self-publish, Let That Be the Reason, the very first person to buy the book, I just was driving down the street. I popped into a salon and walked up to a hairstylist doing hair, and I said, would you like to buy my book? And she was like, sure. And she bought my book.
And why the self-publishing route as opposed to sending them to an established published house?
Oh, Liz, I had sent it to 26.
26. And what'd they all say?
They all said no.
No. They said no.
And it's really interesting because the publishing house has said no to me, published Dirty Red. So, yeah, they all said no. But
so
I
you're a teacher as well.
For my dream.
So you're a teacher as well. You taught them a thing or two.
Yeah, I was like, I'll show those people. And it just worked out.
Well, and so in the types of books that you write, now you are very specific, I'm sorry, the types of books you write and the types of books that you publish, this is a very specific genre. Could you describe it to us?
Yes, it's a genre that, you know, has evolved. It's always been here. You know, it's a revolution from, like, the 70s, Donald Goring's and Iceberg Slim. But it has reemerged itself, and I like to call it hip-hop fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of is for the generation, like, this is the music we like, we love this type of hip-hop clothing, relaxed and creative, and then these are the type of books we want to read.
And these are the type fiction. Of the these are the type of words we speak, this is type of the
exactly.
rhythm that we move with,
yes.
And these are the types
experiences.
Of... Absolutely, absolutely. And also... it's a different type of relationship between man and woman in this hip-hop genre.
Yes. The relationships are quite different. But, you know, I'm noticing that people are telling stories that look at other components to the personalities. You know, like different television shows are getting real deep, like Showtime movies and
mm-hmm.
HBO,
mm-hmm.
Like their shows like On the Corner
mm-hmm.
or Weeds and
mm-hmm.
things like that. They're getting behind the scenes. So these books give you the motivation behind characters. They let you understand that Junebug is locked up, he's not coming home, he's my baby daddy, this is why I am the way I am.
Mm.
So they're getting deep into the reason why you see me on this corner slanging drugs.
And the other piece of it is that this book, at least particularly that Dirty Red, is about a woman and the
yes.
And also a bunch of women and the choices and decisions that women have made. So it's been told from when you think of that kind of genre, that kind of telling the story, normally it revolves around a man. But this is about a bunch of women, too, isn't it?
Yes, sisters are doing it for themselves. This is our time. And what's so fun about that book is, for me, it's just about some young women, I believe, coming of age, trying to find their way out of no way.
But they sure have lived a whole lot of life by the time they've reached 20 now. They sure have lived a whole lot of life.
I know you're going to let them explore. Yeah, they're interesting. And what's so funny is that they call themselves friends. And
yes.
Look how they treat each other.
True fact. True fact.
And
true.
I mean, and they are girlfriends.
True
and what's
fact.
So surprising about this book is that they can treat each other that way, but can't nobody else.
Fact. Fact.
And for black women, we have friendships that are very similar to this. So I like looking at it from that perspective, too. Like, you know, are you relating to your friends this way? Let me kind of put a mirror up and see if you're doing some of these same things.
And I also think that it's going to be interesting to see these women at 35, to see these women at 40, to see where they evolve and the types of relationship that they end up at that stage of their life. Because 20s, these are the types of relationships that folks have.
And the things that they're doing. But they're trying to find their way. Like, you know, towards the end of the book, look how Kira has changed.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You know? Fair enough.
And look at Mikhail. He's a whole different man by the time you get to page 200.
A prayerful man.
Yeah, surprisingly. You know, he knew how to bend those knees when he needed to.
There you
so
go.
I did try to show a different side.
And an evolution. Well, the thing is, I, when I got the, your office, your publishing company sent me a box full of books to give away, and I want to do those. But I had a couple of interns of mine were here when I got the books, and 18, 19-year-old women. So I pulled out Dirty Red, and I showed them Dirty Red, and I said, now, does this cover make you want to read this book? And for the listening audience out there, this is a profoundly provocative cover. It's a woman of African descent sitting on a couch with legs that I think that women all over America would kill to have.
I threw some dye in my legs.
Those
are not my legs, everyone.
They are gorgeous legs, absolutely gorgeous legs with high heels on. You don't see the rest of the body. She has a short little denim shorts on, and then even the graphics on it, the dirty red piece. If I said, does this cover make you want to read this book? And both of my young interns said, absolutely, heck yes. This makes me want to read. So the cover itself is dynamite. I just wanted to tell you that. We're going to take a break. I'm talking to author and publisher Vicki Stringer. My name is Liz Brown. She's joining us from Columbus, Ohio. When we come back, we're going to be talking about her newest book, Dirty Red. Stay with us.
Important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talon says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talon does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talon have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack. So check weather at yahoo.com. And then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show. Every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920, WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I got something I want to talk about. Yeah. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah, there's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone's got their own opinion. And you know, I sure got mine.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour I'm talking to author, publisher Vicki Stringer about her book, Dirty Red. She's joining us from Columbus, Ohio. And Vicki, welcome back.
Thank you.
I want to get back to the cover of this just from the fact that you did not publish this book, correct? That
correct.
You had it. So how much influence did you have, or how much did you make the decision on what the cover of it looked like? When somebody else is publishing your book, what is that like?
You know, but that's a little different. But the Simon Schuster, the publishing company that I can't pronounce, they respect what I do with my own publishing company,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the things I like about them. So mm-hmm. they're very open to my opinion, and I was able to, you know, see some images and approve the final draft. So they were very supportive and allowed me to be a part of that, and I appreciate that greatly.
Okay, well, so let's talk a little bit about Red.
Okay.
If you had a, just like describe Red in a paragraph.
You know, Red is just the woman you can love to hate, I think. you know, what inspired me to do Red is that I'm a big fan of Jennifer Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought if Jennifer Lopez had to be a roundaway girl and was not in Hollywood, who would she be?
Mm.
I thought she would be similar to Red because Red's half black. She's half, you know, Puerto Rican. And she's attractive, and she just has some personal dramas, and she's just trying to never work again in her life at 20. So, you know, she has very realistic goals.
Yeah, she said, I'm definitely not going to work the rest of my life. But there's a scheming part of Red, too. I mean, Red always is thinking about how to get it done, how to work people, and how to get them to do what she wants them to do.
Yes, she is very manipulative.
That's another way of saying it.
She's going to figure out a way to get it her way.
And from the opening paragraph of the book, I mean, Red is, you hit upon her right in the middle of a scheme.
Oh, yes, and you know... You know, you don't want to kind of give it away.
No, you don't.
Red is busy. Isn't she busy? And she's creative.
She is very, very, very creative. And that's why I'm just so amazed at the age of 20 that she has all of this wherewithal. Is this based upon something, someone, or a compilation of folks you know?
You know, of course, I have a girlfriend that inspired me to write Terry's story.
Mm-hmm.
And then Red, like I said, I just was like, I like to write strong, smart women characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless that be the reason you have Carmen. And I like to write women who are in charge and who are in power, who are smart and they're savvy that no matter the circumstance, they can deal with it. So Red to me just was, you know, I want to have my way type of person and I wanted to show readers how she went about getting her way.
Now, would you say that Red is gangsteristic?
Yeah, she's gangsterous for sure.
And
I would say that because she's going to do what she has to do.
And
she's quick on her toes. She's a fast thinker. Like with the incident at her home, she didn't panic. She knew exactly what she needed to do, blackmail her friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But also, I love the way that she is, like you said, quick on her feet, but she's also very, very, very observant. Like when she noticed her friend that didn't move on the couch, that was on the couch when she came back out and then realized that she had read her letter.
Mm-hmm.
That's super observant, and I was impressed with her ability to see, you know what, this doesn't make any sense. Why isn't she watching TV? She must be up to something. And this is what she's thinking about her friend.
Oh, yeah, when she came downstairs, she was like, something in the atmosphere is wrong.
That's right.
So she, looks like her antennas are up, but these girls know each other so well.
Mm. Mm. And tell us about the type of men that Red associates herself with. Can she find love? Is she looking for love, and can she find it if she ran up on it?
You know, I think she wouldn't know love if it bit her because she's never seen love or felt love. And I think that's a big issue for African American women in particular. We're always looking for something that we've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's so important for fathers to be in daughters' lives. Because if you have that experience of a man treating you well from the cradle, when you get out here in the streets and the brother don't want to open the door or do things to you, you're going to know this does not feel natural.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's why black women especially get into relationships that are so unnatural and perverted and unhealthy because we have no idea of what love looks or feels like.
And the men that populate Red's life, what are they like?
They're, you know, they see her for one thing, for her beauty.
Because she is beautiful. She's the type of woman that you absolutely turn your head to look at, men and women alike.
Like she told you in the first chapter, she's a showstopper. Don't get it confused.
Yes, that's fact. That's a fact. And she know that.
And she knows that.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. And she knows the currency that brings.
Right.
So
she uses that to her advantage. I mean, imagine growing up and feeling like that is an asset for you.
But if there isn't any... that's all she thinks of it as. It's
well,
totally...
the only value that's been in her life has been that of her looks. So that becomes an issue for her that she begins to try to capitalize on the only thing she felt she's had going for her.
Currency.
Right.
Tell us about Q.
Well, you know, Q is the brother of your dreams. Good guy. You know, he has some money. He wants to do the right thing. But
he has a lot of some money.
Oh.
He has a lot of money.
Yeah, but he's a star, too. So, you know, it's just one of those things where he's trying to do the best that he can.
But he also, if Red looks at men a certain way, Q certainly looks at women. It's like the opposite of how Red sees women. I mean, Red sees men. Q sees women.
Well, yeah, they're the opposite, but their experiences have made them be that way. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but I don't like him.
You don't like him?
I don't like you. I understand that. I understand that, you know, but...
Well, I like you, so do you like bacon or any of the men?
No, I really don't like bacon. I really don't like bacon. But
what about Mikhail?
Okay, fair enough. Okay, I like Mikhail. I like Mikhail.
He has Terry butt naked on the grass.
Yes, true fact. True fact.
So you don't like any of the men.
but Q, I mean, just the way, I guess what I don't like about Q is just the cynical way that he sees women. And granted, that's what he is, his life experiences is, but I don't know. I don't like him. That's all I can say.
You don't like any of them. You like any of the women?
I guess I need to define what I mean by like.
Okay.
While Red does things in her life that I would not do, I admire the fact that she gets what she needs to get done, and she is solely focused on self, because a lot of women out there lose themselves
right.
in their attempt to be everything to everybody, and they end up being nobody to anybody, or they live their lives through other people's experiences. This Red, I admire her because she sets her goals. I don't admire some of the way she gets her goals done, but she definitely sets her goals, and she works towards them, and nothing is going to stop. She understands herself.
Right.
And so I like that. I like that in Red. I like that.
See, you like the good and bad of Red, but you don't like the good and bad of Q.
I know.
And you're biased. That's really interesting.
I know. I like the good and bad. I definitely like the good and bad. I understand the good and bad. I guess I just don't have the tolerance for accepting that in Q.
Oh, right, because you're like, he's a man, but you understand women. So that's so unfair, Liz.
Well, I didn't say I was going to be fair now. I just told you I was going to tell you who I liked and who I didn't like. I love the language that you use in the book. Now, do you think that people that don't necessarily understand or are familiar with the hip-hop genre, that they can connect with the language in this book? Is it easy? Do you think it's easy for people to do that?
I think it is, because there's a lot of explanation that's offered in that book as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't think people will be, you know, really lost. I think it's still for an urban crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I think those who read contemporary African-American fiction will also be able to enjoy the book as well.
And I love the contemporariness of it as well, bringing in a lot of the contemporary things, because Red definitely is all about things now.
Right. It doesn't feel dated. This
mm-hmm.
novel feels very fresh and, you know, kind of the modern things. And she kind of shows you a couple different things. Like, you know, one reader emailed me. She's like, can I just get a picture of Red's house? Her house. Why did she put her house on the back of the book? So they come up with some interesting suggestions as well.
Do you see a lot of your life in this book or in Red? Because I was noticing how you were talking about your home and how your home that you live in now, after becoming a publisher and a writer, that it sounds like a piece of heaven. That's how the home sounds that Red lives in two different places.
Oh, you know, well, you're asking me, do I find some similarities?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I do. I do. I find some similarities, you know, just in her taste and in her comfort and wanting to just be okay. But then I also find similarities in myself with her struggle And then I wrote that book, you know, I just had a baby 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
So I wrote that book while I was pregnant. And it was so interesting because, you know, it's just everyone in the book winds up just talking about babies.
There you go.
Pregnant and that drama. And so I had another baby after 14 years. So I went through a lot of those emotions that I'm making those characters go through. Like, should I keep it? Should I not keep it?
Exactly.
Do I want to be with this baby daddy?
Exactly.
So I went through all of the same emotions there, except the trick with the pee test. But I remember taking a pregnancy test and just, you know, being very easily able to relate to the story.
And that, again, goes back to... And Red kind of constantly, I love the way that you're in Red's mind. And I really feel really intimate in terms of who Red is because you're in her head all of the time. And when you're going through her, while you're in her head as she is doing this test, it really tells you the type of person that, or it makes an extra connection to you with this particular character.
Yeah, you know, and then by the time you finish writing a book and you go through the rewrites and all these other things, you really become a part of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And you just fall in love with them. So Red is just a character that I just love her to death. And you know, there's a sequel, so I got to make sure she's okay.
You got to.
Because, you know, Bacon's looking for her.
I know that's right. And Bacon, we're going to talk about him when we come back. I am talking to author Vicki M. Stringer. She is an Essence best-selling author, and she's a publisher with her own house, her own employees, and her own books. We're going to talk about that when we come back. She's been in, you were in Fortune magazine. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Fortune magazine. We're going to continue our conversation with Vicki Stringer. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us. We'll be back.
This is your Wake Up Call global news update. Dateline Washington. President Bush is giving away more American money. He's announced a $230 million aid package is going to Lebanon to help meet the needs of that country's shattered infrastructure harmed by the recent Israeli-Hezbollah clash there. The Lebanese government says it's going to take over $3.5 billion to fix all the damage that was done. A donors' conference on humanitarian aid has been set for the end of this month in Sweden to further address the problems in Lebanon. And Dateline Geneva. An Italian genetics professor says evidence is mounting that Israel may have used new types of weapons in military actions in Lebanon and Gaza. Professor Paola Maduka says reports are coming out that clearly show new and strange symptoms among the dead and wounded. Some bodies have dead tissue but no apparent wounds. Extensive damage to internal organs with no traces of shrapnel. Dead bodies that have been blackened but not burned. These suggest types of direct energy weapons and possibly even chemical and biological armaments. Professor Manduka is calling for a team of scientists to come together to investigate these peculiar circumstances and make their findings public to appropriate agencies, including international courts, if necessary. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
An important message from Darlene Green.
Republican Senator Jim Talent says he's about the people and not about the politics. But Talent does not vote to help everyday people. People need access to quality health care, access to affordable housing. People need to have affordable transportation to get to work without paying $3 a gallon. People need to have a livable wage, but the Republicans like Jim Talent have voted against raising the minimum wage again and again. People need a medical cure for diseases like sickle cell, cancer, and diabetes. But the Republicans like Jim Talent are against stem cell research. People, I urge you to make your vote count. It's time to change the tide in Washington and vote for a senator who will be about the people and the issues you care about. Vote Claire McCaskill for U.S. Senate.
I'm Claire McCaskill, and I approve this message.
Paid for by McCaskill for Missouri.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU. where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
Up next, Sort It Out with Lori
and Claire, helping you find the courage to make a change in your life on AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm talking this hour to publisher and author Vicki M. Stringer. She's joining us from Columbus, Ohio, and I'd like to take this moment to tell you all that we're going to be giving away two copies of Dirty Red to the fifth and the eighth caller at 454-6660, at 454-6660, 314-454-6660. If you are the fifth and the eighth caller, you will get a copy of Vicki M. Stringer's book, Dirty Red. This is for grown folks now. This is a grown folks book, so when you call, know that. And Vicki, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
I want to get back into the characters in the book, but first I would be remiss if we didn't have a conversation about Triple Crown Publications. This is your company.
Yes, that's my baby.
And founded in 2002. Talk to us about Triple Crown. Where did the name Triple Crown come from?
Well, you know, in Kentucky, they have the Kentucky Derby,
mm-hmm.
and I used to visit that event when I was hustling in the street. So me and my crew, we called ourselves the Triple Crown Posse. That's where the initials TCP come from. And I love that event because, you know, the horse that runs the Triple Crown at the Kentucky Derby has won 3 consecutive wins in a row.
There you
so
go.
It's like a phenomenal accomplishment.
That's fact.
And so I just felt like if I came home after prison and was able to start my life over, then I would be a Triple Crown winner because I beat the odds. I've done something that they didn't think I could do.
Okay, and I have to just let you know for a second. We have a winner. Get off my phones. We have a winner. Okay. All right. So Triple Crown connected to the amazing accomplishment that you have to have to achieve in order to get the Triple Crown.
Exactly. And so I just felt like, you know, coming home, staying legal, going for my dreams, building, you know, a publishing empire that's, you know, my company is the number one publishing, independent publishing company in the world. You know, we're also translated in Japan as well.
Mm.
So I felt like I stayed down for my crown, so I appropriately named the company Triple Crown Publications.
And how many people do you have in your company?
It's 9 of us.
9 people.
Mm-hmm.
And if people want to submit, you take submissions all the time.
Yes, we do. We take submissions. The submission guideline criteria can be found on our website, which is triplecrownpublications.com. And they can just submit a cover letter with the first 4 chapters or full manuscript, and we review it.
Mm.
But we don't return submissions, so.
And also you're looking for a very specific genre. And, again, I just have to make this announcement. We have our winner. We have our winner. And in terms of the specific genre that you are looking for, what are you looking for?
You know, well, we're looking for anything that has an urban and authentic voice, original stories, something that's creative. We're looking basically for that diamond in the rough, that story that has not been told, and it's going to offer some uniqueness to it.
And how many people have, what are some of the books that you have published through Triple Crown Publications?
Well, we have so many bestsellers. We have 34 titles, and 20 of them have been bestsellers. We've sold collectively over 1 million books. This year we celebrate 5 years, but Triple Crown is the home of best-selling titles such as Gangsta. Since we have a variety of books for you.
And is there an average reader for a Triple Crown publication book?
You know what? I don't think that there are. You know, typically you would think that this person's going to be, you know, like a very young teenager or something like that in an urban setting. But what we found is that the reader can be, you know, 60 years old. They just like urban stories. You could be a corporate executive. I've met investment banker who said that he loved reading Triple Crown books, and they come off of Wall Street and they go buy these books because it allows them to have a vicarious life.
So who was the person that surprised you the most? There must have been somebody out there that surprised you when you found that read one of your books.
You know, when I find religious leaders, when my pastor says, I read this book on the plane, it can't go in the church library, but I wanted to read your book. When I'm finding people of the cloth that still read these urban stories, that kind of surprises me.
Because these, like I said, these are grown folks' books.
Yeah, they are. I think, but I think they're good for young adults, too, because teenagers are, they know this stuff. I think it's a wonderful way for parents to open dialogue because these kids know, and a lot of them are doing these things. Mm. We have a book by a 16-year-old. It's called Down Chick, and she's 16 years old. And the mother, when she read it, she was so upset because of the sex scene. She's like, I didn't know my daughter knew this.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I think it's something for everyone.
Fair enough. So let's get back to Dirty Red. When you look back on your baby, you've put this. She's out here now. Dirty Red is out here. Another one of your books that's out here. Do you look upon them as like? Are you one of those parents that has a favorite child?
You know, they say a mother never tells. That's what they say. So
she's just another one of your babies.
Yes.
So let's talk about Bacon. Describe Bacon for us.
Bacon is just, you know, a person who, he's just a typical drug dealer who let his money and power go to his head. And as a result of being in the on top position, he doesn't have a lot of respect for women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he makes them do anything because he knows he's the breadwinner. But it's typical of a lot of women who depend on a man's income to live.
And I like the
I
like the conversation that Red again had in her head about her relationship with Bacon. Why she did not, what she did not like about him, and that was that, about how he treated her, how he made her feel when he was treating her that way, and the reason that he was doing it to her.
I'm sorry, my baby is crying.
Your new baby is crying.
Yes, Liz. It's hard to concentrate here. Can you hear him?
I can hear him. How old is he now? Was he three?
6 weeks.
6 weeks old?
Uh-huh.
How big was he when he was born?
He was 8 pounds.
And this was a baby that you had 13 years after your first baby?
Yes.
How was that?
You know, that's been very interesting. So, it's just one of those situations of trying to get adjusted to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How does his he has a brother, right?
Yes, he's 14. They're 14 years apart.
So how does the brother respond to his new brother?
They're both spoiled. They're babies still. They both fight for the attention and things like that. I don't want to be rude to your callers, Liz. I think I may have to cut this short.
Okay. Well, Vicki, I do want to thank you very much because we only have 3 minutes left here. If you could just let people know where they can find Triple Crown Publications.
Triple Crown books can be found everywhere that fine books are sold. So we're, you know, Borders, Walden's, we're, you know, specifically support the African-American-owned bookstores. And we're found on the, you know, Internet. You can go to Amazon.com. You can visit our website, Triple Crown Publications, and buy direct from us, the publisher.
And is there a website?
TripleCrownPublications.com.
Very good. Vicki Stringer, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Thanks, Liz. Thanks for having me. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown on the Wake Up Call. We're bringing it to a close for today, but that's all right. We have more good stuff for you tomorrow. So until then, stay strong.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.